to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Reaction to the pictures, the videos, and the angry manifesto of separation and resentment sent to NBC by the Virginia Tech shooter today. The range of coping and moving on is wide for some, like Rochelle Lowe, who lost her friend Caitlin Hammerin. Staying close, she says, is very important. Here's Jim Crisula.
This is Jim Crisula in Blacksburg, Virginia. It's an honor being welcomed by the families of the slain Virginia Tech students.
We have recommended, and the president has approved, a decision to award all students who were killed on Monday posthumous degrees from Virginia Tech for the degree they were pursuing.
Virginia Tech Provost Mark McNamee also says students will be allowed to receive their current grades if they feel they can't finish out the semester.
Right now, I think going back to my room and seeing her stuff, taking a shower and seeing like her little spongy thing like hanging with mine, like, where is she? I want her back.
Sung-hee Jo, the gunman, started life poor. His family moved to the U.S. to make a new start after some hard times back home in South Korea. And they were getting there. Joe's sister went to Princeton, and he was just weeks away from graduating from Virginia Tech. His parents, not surprisingly, don't want to talk to reporters.
A source close to the family tells me the family is having a very difficult time comprehending what has happened. They will make a public statement, but they are not prepared to make one just yet.
That's WCBS-TV reporter Elizabeth Herr. Police have arrested a 16-year-old student at Todd Beamer High School in Washington State, the town of Federal Way. Police say he brought three loaded guns to school with ammunition. The school was promptly locked down after that discovery. In Oklahoma City, memorial to the dead killed by Timothy McVeigh's bomb. Rudolph Giuliani spoke at the memorial today.
What the terrorists have to know, what the criminals have to know, if you attack any one of us, any one city, any one college, you attack all of us.
168 people died 12 years ago today. If Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez thought to repair his leaky ship today at the Senate Judiciary Committee, he had a hard time finding any helpers. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
It wasn't just that Gonzalez didn't find support among Republicans. They were downright hostile. One of the most conservative senators on the panel, Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, told Gonzalez to resign. Senators usually loyal to the White House, like John Cornyn and Jeff Sessions, said Gonzalez had done damage to the Justice Department. Republican Lindsey Graham of South Carolina told Gonzalez flatly he didn't believe the explanation for the firing of the U.S. attorneys, saying he thinks it was just made up after the fact.
On Wall Street, the Dow up about 4 points. The Nasdaq lost five today. This is CBS News.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, my neighbor has termites. Should I worry?
Absolutely. The fact is that termites can damage as many homes as fires.
I know it. Honey, I told you they'd ruin the neighborhood.
Who, the termites or the neighbors?
Take your pick.
Well, either way, there's no need to worry, as long as you have an Orkin Home Protection Plan.
Ooh, thank my heavens. You got anything to keep his dog off my lawn?
Different show.
Dagnabbit, I'll call back.
Okay, but for a free termite inspection, call
1-800-ORKINMAN.
Hi, what can I get you, sir?
I'll have a tall cappuccino with a touch of cinnamon and some peace of mind, please.
You got it.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
Oh, and I'll have some confidence, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details or visit FordCPO.com.
Tiny, powerful magnets can pinch the skin enough to dangle earrings. In the intestine, this could be disastrous. Too many young kids have swallowed these tiny magnets.
In swallowing multiple magnets, the injuries are much more serious than just getting stuck inside a child. They can attract to each other inside the intestines and cause perforations or blockage.
That's Julie Belize at the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Magna Corporation is recalling all of its magnetics building toys unless they are labeled for 6 years old and up. Police say there will be no charges, but the woman's boyfriend has been told he might want to turn down the heat on the kisses. His girlfriend got so excited she bit off part of his tongue in Israel. Nahariya Hospital says it was simply a matter of passion gone out of control. Advice to the man, sip iced drinks and no wet kisses till the stitches are removed. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
A fence should reflect the pride and professionalism of your business and protect employees and assets. American Fence Association member contractors know the best styles, materials, options, and installation methods for commercial and industrial fencing and gates. AFA contractors stay current on local insurance and zoning requirements and building regulations. Make sure your contractor is an American Fence Association member. To find yours, visit AmericanFenceAssociation.com or call 1-800-822-4342.
What'll it be, ma'am?
I'll have a pound of Swiss.
Okay.
Have a pound of peppered turkey.
Turkey.
And some Peace of Mind, please.
Coming up.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
Oh, and I'll have a pound of happiness, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com.
Peter B. Collins!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm your humble host, Peter B., in the hot seat here. And my only regret is that we only have 3 hours to talk about so many important issues. I caught part of the Alberto Gonzalez show on Capitol Hill today. We'll get two bites on that one. Faz Shakir will join us in a moment from the Center for American Progress. And later today, Margie Burns, a correspondent for Brad Blog, is going to join us. She was at the Gonzalez hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee today, and she'll give us her first-person account. Also on the program today, California Assemblyman Lloyd Levine. He's co-sponsor with Democrat Patty Berg of Eureka of the Death with Dignity bill. This is their third attempt to get it through the state legislature. We're going to talk to the Assemblyman about a half hour from now about that important bill. Also on today's program, as usual for a Thursday, Scott Dick, retired from the Army as a major. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. We'll talk about the surge of civilian deaths in Iraq. And also, we passed another benchmark, 3,300 American troops have died in that conflict. As we mentioned, we'll share the free speech zone with Margie Burns to give us an update on the Gonzalez hearing. And then we're going to talk about NBC's decision to broadcast at least portions of the kind of YouTube video that shows Sung Hui shipped off in between killing sprees at Virginia Tech on Monday. I personally think they went too far. Couldn't they have waited until the teachers and students have been buried to release that grisly tape? We'll talk about that with you in the Free Speech Zone later today. You can always call, even when we're talking with guests. This is an interactive program. The number is 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And joining us to kick off the show today is Faz Shakir. He is the research director at the Center for American Progress, and he's the co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. I get it in my email free, and you can too. It's a great look at the news with analysis and links to hard facts, and it may help you understand issues a little better. Log on to progressreport.org, and they'll send it to you in your email every day. Faz, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Peter. I'm doing just fine this week. How are you?
Not too bad. It's been a hectic and busy week with a lot of distractions, and I want to try to cut through some of that. First, though, we didn't get to talk to you last week, and the Friday before, I caught the Faz Man on television.
Where did you see me there, Peter?
You were on MSNBC.
Sir, with Keith Olbermann, who I think is probably the best TV host around right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great to be on with him.
Well, I thought you did very well. I was
Thank
watching you.
You
critically, and I...
I'm sure you were.
I thought you
handled fact-checking me.
I didn't hear any misstatements. As I recall, you were working with sketchy details on a breaking story.
It was Rachel Pelosi, who
right.
that day we had learned she was a U.S. attorney in Minnesota, and we had just started to learn that four of her staffers had demoted themselves, and so we were talking about what that all meant in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, but you did a very good job, because I could tell you had sketchy information,
right.
and you stuck to it without that urge to embellish.
That's right. I try.
Now, Alberto Gonzalez didn't have the same skills when he was before the cameras, and a hostile group of senators, Democrats and Republicans, today up on Capitol Hill. And he bobbed and weaved and, you know, went from one kind of bluff to another. I'd love somebody to do a search and see how many times he used the phrase, I can't recall, I don't remember, or if I remember correctly. I mean, virtually every answer was hedged. There were very few unequivocal comments from Gonzalez.
Yeah, and the irony is he had weeks upon weeks to prepare for this, and yet he still came in, and his most common answer was, well, I don't know. He did admit some mistakes. He said, I made some mistakes, blah, 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 but I don't know the answers to why I made mistakes. And I thought it was very interesting that Dana Bash on CNN came out with a report just an hour ago, and she was talking to very loyal Republicans who said that they were, quote, dripping with disappointment from his testimony. And also one prominent Republican described to her that he was watching his testimony as clubbing a baby seal.
Ooh.
This is how loyal allies of the White House are looking at the testimony of Alberto Gonzalez today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't watch all of it. I heard some on the radio. I want to thank Pacifica Radio for carrying it gavel to gavel. Unfortunately, the TV networks didn't give it much steady coverage. They were cutting in from Virginia Tech and a couple of campuses where copycat incidents have developed, and also weather issues in the east, and Gates' visit to Baghdad, so we didn't get much. And C-SPAN was covering live sessions in the Senate and the House, so they didn't have it on the main channels either.
Yeah, I was on C-SPAN 3 today, which is unfortunate because I know most people don't get it. But, you know, by all accounts, he didn't really miss all that much, except that he, quote, went down in flames, according to another Republican.
Well, there were two interesting aspects to me, and then we'll drill into more detail later on in the program today with Margie Burns. But one was that initially the only senator to call directly for Gonzalez's resignation to his face was Tom Coburn, a Republican of Oklahoma. And he said that while he didn't believe there were any political machinations going on here, this is just part of the blood sport in Washington, he said, you're incompetent.
That's right. He said it was incompetent. It was inconsistent, his testimony. It was atrocious, he said. He handled it incompetently. He said it's generous to say that there were misstatements, because that's a generous statement, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I believe you ought to suffer the consequences that others have suffered, and I believe the best way to put this behind us is your resignation.
Yeah, that was very powerful stuff. I don't quite agree with his premise, but I'll accept his summation. And then Charles Schumer, a senator from New York, in his closing remarks, did demand the resignation of Gonzalez. Do you know if any other senators did?
No, not today. Not today. Arlen Specter got into a very testy exchange with him, which I thought was quite amusing, because Gonzalez interjected himself at one point while Specter was talking, and he said, Gonzalez said, I prepared a lot for this.
Yeah.
I always prepare when I come to the Senate. And you could just see Specter's face just turn red, and he got angry, and he said, well, do you prepare when you go before the press? Do you prepare when you go before press conferences? Do you prepare for those? Because, you know, alluding to all the misstatements he's made. And Gonzalez was immediately put on the defensive, and he said, well, you know, I apologize. I acknowledge I made some mistakes. I'm sorry about that. And Specter pressed after him and ultimately said, you know, you certainly, we don't want to get into a debate about preparation, because that's not a debate you're going to win.
Mm-hmm. Also in an exchange with Senator Feinstein from California, who I was hoping would confront him about his perjured testimony in January before the Judiciary Committee. I felt they were easy on him today, and they didn't use terms like perjury. They allowed him to say that he misspoke and made mistakes. But my belief, Faz, is that he did lie under oath and should be called to account for that.
Key lies is about this issue about whether he tried to circumvent the normal confirmation process, right, by using this Patriot Act provision that allowed the administration to appoint attorneys who were related to some sort of national security issue, and to do so without confirmation. And in his opening in his testimony, you know, a year or two ago, he said that he would never use that provision to bypass the Senate. And so one of the issues is here: was he trying to do that? Was he trying to bypass the Senate and put people like Tim Griffin into U.S. attorney spots around the country? And he denied that he ever had a plan to do that. So we didn't really make any ground there on whether he actually did perjure himself on that particular issue.
Yeah, he mainly just was non-responsive,
mm-hmm.
and wasn't really coughing up anything that could be used against him. I think that despite his verbiage, his overall performance probably served his purposes pretty well, because he's got a lot to cover for there.
Yeah, and I think that the way they approached this hearing, it was pretty clear, is that they looked at all the emails that have been released, and they looked at his statements, and they said, okay, how can we piece together a story that doesn't tell the full truth, and just simply sticks to what the emails are already telling us? And so that's what he did. He's basically stuck to the line of what's already been made public,
mm-hmm.
and didn't honestly come out and tell the truth about what happened here.
One of the things that was telling in the exchange with Feinstein was she said, you know, after all these hours of conversation, and this was during her last round of questioning of the Attorney General, she said, we still don't know how these names got on a list.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying Sampson did it. Sampson saying he was just a collector of information, just an aggregator of the list. Right on down the line, the other top AG staffers said that, like McNulty, that they had no input on this list. And so it's still a mystery how these names got on the list.
I think Feinstein's put her finger on exactly the issue, because the answer to that question is something that Gonzalez won't tell us. Gonzalez will admit that he wasn't as involved as he should be. So who was involved?
Mm-hmm.
Who was telling them what to do? Well, clearly the answer to that is Karl Rove and the political office in the White House. They were the ones who were controlling this operation, and nobody is willing to come out and tell us that fact yet.
And under the questioning of Dick Durbin, number two in the Senate, he's from Illinois, he pressed Gonzalez on a number of issues and ultimately asked him if he still felt that firing David Iglesias in New Mexico was the right move. And I was floored by Gonzalez's answer. He said yes. And you know why? Because when Senator Domenici and Congresswoman Wilson called him, he didn't report that to the Justice Department.
It was incredible. He suggested that it's meritorious to fire somebody if a senator simply calls and complains about him. That was the basis for the complaint against Iglesias, is that, well, I received a call, and so therefore we're allowed to go and fire this guy. No, I mean, the standard should be much higher than that, and he certainly didn't check Domenici's complaints and see whether they had any merit. He simply said, okay, there's political reasons for us to fire him. Domenici is upset, so let's go ahead and do it.
So what's the OTB pool on the resignation of Alberto Gonzalez?
You're going to see, I think tomorrow we're going to get some more of these blind quotes, or hopefully more quotes on the record from Republicans, because they're just really let down by his testimony. And I think once those get out, there'll be some more momentum against the White House for cutting this guy loose, because the one thing the White House hoped to do today was to try to resolve all the questions so that they stop the story dead in its tracks. And I don't think his testimony did that today.
We're going to take a break. Return with Faz Shakir, talk about the Senate stalling on the prescription drug amendment and also the Supreme Court decision yesterday limiting abortion choices. That's ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Come to Carmel's Spring Wellness Fair, Saturday, April 21st from 11 to 6. Experience demonstrations and receive information and guidance from experts in aromatherapy, massage, nutrition, acupuncture, yoga, and palmistry. Co-sponsored by the Yoga Center of Carmel, Pilgrim's Way Books, and The Secret Garden. At the Wellness Fair, you'll broaden your awareness of and connection to your body, mind, and spirit. Saturday, April 21st, come to the fair at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore on Dolores between 5th and 6th in Carmel by the Sea. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report at the Center for American Progress in Washington. And Faz, once again, I feel that the media just went bonkers and went into this tabloid wall-to-wall coverage of the grisly killings at Virginia Tech on Monday. And even as recently as last night, I wanted to see some coverage of the Supreme Court decision, a very important decision on late-term abortion. And we got wall-to-wall coverage of Virginia Tech because NBC had gotten this videotape from the shooter. And I'm really concerned that a lot of Americans are going to miss out on a very critical issue that I think ultimately could lead to a rollback or elimination of abortion rights in this country altogether.
That's right. I mean, if you're talking about what will actually have critical impact in people's lives, that Supreme Court decision yesterday was far more important to our daily lives. And I think there's a number of lessons that came out of that decision. One is clearly that elections matter, with Judge Samuel Alito tossing the balance in favor of the right-wing ideologues and restricting women's right to choose, or clearly moving along that path. Also, I think that, you know, it is interesting to me, one of the most important parts of this decision was part that hasn't received all that much attention, and that was written by Justice Anthony Kennedy, who was the majority opinion author. He said that the facial language of the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act is okay, but they'll allow women to challenge that if they can show that they've been harmed on a case-by-case basis. So what does that mean? That means if you're a woman, you actually have, and you want to, and you're in a life-threatening situation, you have to wait until you're in pain, literally bleeding on the operating room, to go and file a case before the federal courts, and then hope that it gets heard in time enough to grant you the permission to have that procedure.
I think that the way Kennedy argued for the issue related to the health of the mother as opposed to the life of the mother creates a whole new gray area that leaves doctors uncertain about where they stand and puts a two-year prison sentence as a threat if they make the wrong move, the wrong decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did by upholding the act, and there's so many terrible consequences here, and one of the most important parts of that is that the American obstetricians have said that that the science here, that all the physicians agree that this procedure is the best procedure to save a woman's life if there's a life-threatening situation. And what the court is in effect doing is saying that, well, political leaders can replace doctors and make that determination about what's best for a woman.
Well, I fear that a woman will die as a doctor says, well, it's only her health that's at stake right now, so we can't do this procedure. And then as she starts to flatline, he'll say, oh, okay, now it's all right to do it, and it may be too late.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what they're forcing it to happen, Peter. I mean, that's what they want to happen, because they're saying that we're not going to put ourselves, the justices are saying, we're not going to put ourselves in the position of interpreting the language and what impact the language of this statute will have. We actually want to see somebody die, which is really the most unfortunate part of this whole situation, is that we want to see some suffering before we're going to act. And of course, Democrats, a great many of them, majority of them, voted against this bill because they know what's going to happen from this. And unfortunately, conservatives, I think, who are trying to chip away at a woman's rights to choose, this is what this is all about.
Yep.
Go one step at a time. The
Phase
first step
one.
Is to carve out the health exceptions, and then the next one is, you know, right down the line, and they've had this plan in place for decades, and they're going to try to move, and this is a good day for them because they've got Alito on the side.
Yeah, it's offensive that they used the phony testimony of the Republican-controlled Congress as some sort of underlying fact set, and also that they used the language of partial birth abortion, which should not be embraced. It's a meaningless kind of spin statement. But Faz, you're the one with the law degree here. Talk for a minute about stare decisis and the prevarications of one.
Well, you know, Judge Alito, it's really interesting with Judge Alito specifically, and I think he's the most important person here, and we need to key in on him because he is, of course, replacing Justice O'Connor, who just 4 or 5 years ago, it was in 2000, that the Supreme Court looked at this same case and said, we're going to overturn the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act because it doesn't meet the constitutional requirements of a woman's right to choose. So now here we are, we revisit the issue 7 years later, and we flip sides, and it's Justice Alito who does that. And if you look at him, his case specifically, he said in a 2000 decision when he was on the New Jersey federal court, he said that this didn't meet constitutional muster. That is, a partial birth ban that does not have a health exception does not meet constitutional muster. That's what he ruled on the New Jersey courts, and then he even told the Senate Judiciary Committee, when he was before them in testimony, that he has no ideology. He is a fan of stare decisis. He is not trying to carry any political ideology to the courts. That's what he actually ended up getting a few votes because he said that from Bill Nelson, I believe, or Ben Nelson. One of them voted.
Oh, excuse me, my BS detector just went off.
So look at what we really got. I mean, many of us, Peter, you know, you were one of them, and so we were, I think, also. We were saying, hey, don't trust this guy. You know, he's really a wolf in sheep's clothing here. He's just trying to say what he needs to say to get on the court, and then he's going to push his ideology. Sure enough, that's what we got.
And four Democrats, along with the pro-choice Republicans, voted for Sam Alito. I have deep regrets about that. Faz, thanks for your work. Go to the Progress Report and take a look at the Senate blocking the modification of the prescription drug benefit. Thank you, Faz.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd the Taxi Driver, and I'm hacking disappointed with our Attorney General. With his job in jeopardy and members of Congress demanding the truth, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez seems unaware how important it is to reestablish his credibility with both lawmakers and the American people. I believe Mr. Gonzalez's flawed interpretations of the Constitution has done great harm to this country. Unfortunately, he didn't seem to know the difference between the responsibilities he had as a White House counsel to the president and the responsibilities he had to the American people as Attorney General. He may believe he did nothing wrong and that he has nothing to hide, but I think he did. He allowed politics to enter the criminal justice system, and that is wrong. And for that, he needs to resign immediately. Until tomorrow, this is Todd the Taxi Driver.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. It's 33 minutes after the hour. In about 30 minutes, Scott Dick returns to our program. Retired from the Army as a major, he helps me understand those Pentagon acronyms, how the budget works, and all that stuff. So he'll be with us next hour, taking your phone calls, too. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. And still to come today, Margie Burns, a correspondent for Bradblog, was at the Gonzales hearing in Washington today. She'll give us an evasion-by-evasion account. I want to dedicate this portion of the Peter B. Collins Show to my friend Woody. I talked to Woody this morning, and he shared some sad news. His 74-year-old father was told yesterday that he has terminal leukemia. And here in California, Assemblywoman Patty Berg of Eureka, joined by our guest who will join us in a second here, Assemblyman Lloyd Levine, a Democrat from Southern California, have garnered the support of Speaker Fabian Nunez as they take a third try to pass a bill to provide death with dignity. It's called the Compassionate Choices Act, AB 374. Lloyd Levine, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me on, Peter. I appreciate it.
Assemblyman, it's my first time talking with you, and I just want to make sure that you're not a relative of Mel Levine, who pronounced the same spelling a little differently.
No, I am not.
Okay. And I understand you're a marathon runner?
Yep, I just finished the Boston Marathon on Monday, as a matter of fact.
Really? How'd that go?
Well, the weather was terrible, but it was my first Boston, and I had a blast. I had so much fun. It's an amazing race. It's the oldest continuously run road race in America, and it was just, I can't begin to describe how much fun it was.
Yeah. And before we get to the business at hand here, just a quick question that I like to ask all my elected leaders in Sacramento. You didn't warm up for the Boston Marathon by taking a walk from a committee vote recently, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, I appreciate that. I like our elected leaders who stand and have their votes counted and don't duck contentious issues either in committee or on the floor.
I think you'll find the only time I've missed votes is when I have actually physically not been in the Capitol that day, such as when I was out Monday for the marathon. There was a few committee votes I missed, but I wasn't ducking them when I was around.
No, that's quite understandable. I don't expect you to be present every day, every session, but I have been in hearing rooms and in the gallery there of the assembly as I've watched people maintain their silence as their name was called for a roll.
Yep.
Some of them physically left the room, but often they don't even bother.
Yeah, I know people do that, but each member has their own conscience and they're free to decide for themselves. For me personally, I'm here to vote on things, and I do.
Assemblyman Lloyd Levine, he's Democrat from District 40, that's Van Nuys in the San Fernando Valley, and you are co-author, and this is the third round for the Death with Dignity bill. It's called the California Compassionate Choices Act, AB 374, and it seems that prospects for passage are really improving this year.
Every time the bill is introduced, I think the chances for passage improve because we build on the foundation that we laid the year before. This year, we've had two significant things happen in addition to all of the work we did last year. Last year, for example, we got MALDEF in support of the bill. This year, we retain MALDEF's active support, which is key amongst Latino constituencies. But in addition to that, we've picked up the Speaker of the Assembly. That's a big signal to members that it's not a political liability. This bill is not a political liability. It's not going to lose us elections. Additionally, we picked up the support of the California Association of Physicians Groups, which is one of the largest doctors' organizations representing doctors in California. And whereas last year the California Medical Association had a position of opposition, this year the doctor community is split on the issue, with a large contingent of doctors from the physicians group in support, and CMA still holding on to their opposition.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have letters from over 1,500 California Medical Association doctors saying they disagree with the CMA position on this.
Yeah. And as I recall, some Latino and non-Latino Catholic legislators had real trouble with this in the past. I recall, if I'm correct, talking with Simone Salinas, your former colleague from Salinas, who was really wrestling with it on a personal moral basis. And I think he had the same issue with some gay rights legislation.
Yeah. We recognize that that people have a you know, a difference of opinion. But as I've said many times to many people, look, I don't go into the Catholic Church and tell their parishioners what to do. I sit here in the California State Legislature. My job is to make the laws. Our job is to make the laws for all people. We live in the United States of America, a country, as we all know, that was founded on the separation of church and state. We escaped the persecution of the Church of England, and created a nation that had a separation of church and state, so the church didn't control the state, and the state didn't control the church. You know, we have to make laws here for Catholics, for Jews, for Muslims, for Hindus, for atheists, for everybody. And so I think it's incumbent upon the state legislature to recognize each individual's preference and let them make up their own mind. And if their moral beliefs guide them differently, then that's fine. But the moral beliefs of one group shouldn't dictate to everybody.
Now, has the language of the bill changed at all, Assemblyman?
No. The language of the bill is virtually identical to last year's legislation.
Okay. And last year, you and Assemblywoman Berg moved it through, and at a crucial stage, you decided not to push further. Describe what happened.
Well, you know, we reached further than we had ever reached before with legislation. We got a bill to the Assembly floor. But we came up a few votes short on our vote total of 41 votes, so we decided not to pursue that piece of legislation. At the same time, we had a bill in the Senate that we amended the contents of the bill into, and we tried to pursue that route for a while, too. But ultimately, we weren't successful, so we decided to regroup. And start over. You know, we believe that this is a fundamental and important issue for the people of California.
Mm-hmm.
It's fundamentally about an individual's right to decide for themselves at the end of their life what's best for them and to make their own choices.
Yeah.
And so we continue to push this so that all of us, like my grandmother, which is how I came to this, all of us at the end of our lives will have the ability to choose what we feel is best for us. And that's why we continue to push it forward and continue to build on the efforts of the year before.
Yeah. And ultimately, I believe that this is a very personal and extremely difficult choice that can be made by an individual or their family members. And we have the awful specter, the exploited case of Terry Schiavo, that sets a strong negative example of what can happen when people pander to a certain constituency by interfering in the end-of-life decisions that nobody really should second-guess. I simply feel that it's a matter for individuals and those they love and trust to reach on their own without government interference.
You're absolutely correct. You know, what I've said is it's up to the individual patient ultimately to decide in consultation with their family, with their doctors, with their spiritual advisors, in whatever order they so choose to consult. You know, if they're an atheist and don't have spiritual or religious advisors, you know, then that's fine. If they choose to consult with them instead of the doctor, that's fine. But the bottom line is, it's up to the patient. The hallmark of our bill is the patient is in control the whole time.
So give us a quick sketch of the bill, how it would work, and if you care to, describe it in anecdote form of how an individual who is confronting a terminal illness can get this kind of assistance.
Sure. Can I take an opportunity just before this to draw a little framework that I think is important here?
Go right ahead. We've got about 5 minutes to the
break.
Okay.
I think briefly the framework that's important to remember before we consider the legislation is that in every state in the union, every day people hasten their death. at the end of life when they've got cancer or another terminal disease, they do this all the time. It happens in a variety of ways. In Oregon, there's a legal process. In the rest of the country, it happens in ways that involve guns, drugs. You know, that people go and they take an overdose of sleeping pills. This is the most common way. An overdose of sleeping pills and put a plastic bag over their head and suffocate. You know, those are some of the things that go on today. So what we're talking about with my bill is not whether hastening death happens, but how it happens. And the hallmarks of the bill are this. You have to be a mentally competent adult individual over the age of 18. You have to be a resident of California for a year prior to your diagnosis. You go to your doctor, and, you know, in the course of a regular examination, he says, you know, you have cancer, you have Lou Gehrig's disease, whatever it might be. You know, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. How long do I have to live? Well, you know, and they give you a prognosis or a diagnosis. The doctor has to give you a diagnosis of a terminal disease and a prognosis of less than 6 months to live before you're eligible for the program. Patient has to ask the doctor for information. The doctor cannot suggest to the patient that, you know, you might want to consider hastening your death. The patient has to ask. When the patient initiates the request, then the doctor has to immediately refer the patient to a second independent physician for a confirmation of both the diagnosis and the prognosis. So two doctors have to certify that, yes, you have a terminal disease, and yes, you have less than 6 months to live. Also, both doctors have to certify in their best medical judgment that you are competent mentally to make your own medical decisions. If either doctor has a question, you're then referred for a psychiatric evaluation, and the process stops until a psychologist or a psychiatrist clears you to continue. If you're not enrolled in hospice care at the end of your life, you also are automatically referred for a psychological evaluation. Once you're given a psychological clearance, you then have to make your request three separate times, at least once in writing. The first and second request separated by 15 days, at least 15 days. The second and third request separated by at least 48 hours, kind of a cooling off period to make sure people understand what they're doing. The requests have to be witnessed by independent persons, nobody who stands to benefit financially, nobody in the will, no representative of the HMO, the hospital, the insurance company, truly an independent witness, and that's the opportunity for the patient to say, stop, they're coercing me. Now, I'll tell you, in Oregon, that's never happened. There's been no incidents of malfeasance in Oregon, but it's a safeguard we believe should be there.
Well, Assemblyman, and that's really important to me. What you described repeatedly is that the patient must initiate this process.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really critical because, in my view, the one objection that's been raised that has some traction
mm-hmm.
is that given the way our health care system is going, that in the future, rationing of health care could cause the bean counter at a hospital to say, sorry, this guy is not going to make it. And it's costing us, you know, $15,000 a day, and therefore it's time to pull the plug.
Well, that has never happened in Oregon. There's never been an incidence of malfeasance. Nobody has made any accusations of malfeasance that have any foundation. You know, those who are opposed to this on a variety of grounds always will make accusations. But there has never been any reported legitimate problems. Law enforcement has never investigated. And then the last thing I want to say for the process, the ultimate act is done by the patient. This is something a patient or person does for themselves. They have to self-administer the medication. It is not something that somebody else does to you. You self-administer. So the patient is in control the whole time.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Lloyd Levine, Democratic Assemblyman from Southern California. He's co-sponsor with Patty Berg of Eureka of AB 374, the California Compassionate Choices Act, and it has better prospects for passage than ever before in this legislative cycle. If you have a question or comment, you can call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Assemblyman Levine is also chair of the Utilities and Commerce Commission. We'll talk about some of those issues in the next segment. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes away from the hour. Next hour, it's military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. We continue our conversation with Democratic Assemblyman Lloyd Levine. He's from the Van Nuys, San Fernando Valley area. And with Patty Berg of Eureka, co-sponsor of AB 374, the California Compassionate Choices Act. And Assemblyman, where is it in the process and where should people direct their comments?
The bill is in the Appropriations Committee. It was just heard this week and sent to the suspense file, which is a technical term. It's a place where bills that have an impact to the state general fund of over $150,000, which is, you know, most of them, it's a place where those bills go. The bill will be voted on officially in about 2 to 3 weeks. Comments should be sent to my office or Assemblymember Berg's office in the state capitol. Additionally, comments should be sent to members' local representatives, their local assembly member. One of the things we know about this legislation, historically in the field poll, Californians support this. Californians of all different stripes support this. The average is about 70% support over the years, but you know, Republicans support this in the general population at a 64% rate, Catholics at a 65% rate, seniors, all of those different groups support it. But for some reason, some legislators are uncomfortable. They need to hear from their constituents. The Catholic Church is being very vocal on this. These legislators all need to hear from their constituents and others to say, hey, I'm a Californian and I support this. I want this choice. I want to be able to control my own medical decisions at the end of life.
Mm-hmm. Assemblyman, you chair the Utilities and Commerce Commission. You got some ink earlier this year for a proposal to ban incandescent light bulbs. I want you to know that here at my secret studio, we're all fluorescent.
Oh, very good, very good.
So don't send the light bulb cops, okay?
There are no light bulb cops, but I'll make sure you get an award for that.
What's the status of that bill?
That bill is actually going to be heard in my committee on Monday, and I don't expect any problems getting that bill out of committee. Every day that goes by, we hear more and more countries, the European Union and others, banning incandescent light bulbs, and it seems like every time I introduced my legislation in January, and since that time, it's just been a landslide of others doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. On another note, we spent some time last week talking to a gentleman from Fresno Nuclear Power mm-hmm. about a plan to build a new nuke plant in California. And I have severe objections to it. I don't believe we'd solve the waste problem. I don't have confidence that a plant could be built and brought in on budget. And I also don't believe that we have an adequate regulatory structure to ensure the safety long-term of these plants
but
in operation.
But other than that, they're okay.
Yeah. Other than that,
Other than that, how is the theater, Mrs. Lincoln? Yeah. I absolutely agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Is it dead for now? I understand that Lonnie Hancock, chair of another committee, hammered through a denial of any removal of the moratorium on new plants.
Yeah, there was a bill proposed by a Republican, he tried to disguise it. I think he called it the Carbon-Free Energy Act or something mm-hmm. like that. And it was referred to both her committee and my committee. It went to hers first, and she killed it before it came to mine. There's people now starting to talk about nuclear energy again, given the fact that we realize that coal and oil and natural gas have emissions. What I'd rather see us focus on, what I've been successful doing in the legislature, is alternative energy and energy efficiency. I've been a big champion of things like the Million Solar Roofs Initiative. Kevin Murray and I authored that legislation that the governor signed, and we now have a program that gets us 3,000 megawatts of solar energy in 10 years. We have legislation that I worked on last year with Senator Parada to get us 20% renewable energy by 2010. I did a bill last year that created a comprehensive statewide energy efficiency act, which isn't the old model of doing things where people got the impression we wanted you to, put on four sweaters and three jackets and crawl under a blanket and turn the thermostat down to 40 degrees. What we're now talking about is not doing without, but using what we have in a smarter way.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of policies focus on those different forms of generation, geothermal generation, and not fossil fuel-based generation or nuclear, because while there's a problem, while nuclear doesn't have any emissions, I would suggest you probably don't want to go scuba diving off the Farallon Islands anytime
mm-hmm.
soon.
Now, I understand you've opposed the proposed LNG operation
yes.
offshore of Ventura. Are there any circumstances under which you believe we need an LNG platform or dock? And if so, where should it be?
Well, I would be willing to look at these proposals, but my overarching concern is that in a time where we're making great strides in geothermal, wind, different types of solar energy and others, that bringing in an additional source of fossil fuel is actually bad energy policy. It's a short-sighted energy policy. As our energy needs grow, currently, 20% by 2010, 20% of our energy will come from renewable resources. However, where that other 80% comes from is important. And what you'll see is the total pie is going to grow, so that 80% will remain 80%, but the numbers will grow, mm-hmm. which means we'll have to add generation. And where do we add that generation? If we continue to add natural gas-fired generation there, then an increasing percentage of our total energy picture is dependent upon one fuel. As we you know, we're not building any more nuke plants. Currently, we're at about 13% of our energy from nuke plants. We're not building any more hydro plants. So when you start, looking at those as fixed amounts of energy, mm-hmm. the variable there, we're not building new, or no, there are no oil or coal plants, the increase is going to come primarily from natural gas and alternative energy. And I'd hate to see us put all of our eggs in one basket and become dependent upon a volatile world market for natural gas.
Assemblyman, just about a minute remaining. I want to squeeze in a call. Dave from Eureka. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, Assemblyman, I think you and Patty Burridge, my Assemblywoman, are pursuing decent humanitarian legislation, and we don't get anywhere near enough of that. I want to take you in two other quick directions. Crooked voting machines. Are you aware of them, and do you have a plan? And I have one other.
All right, voting machines first, Assemblyman.
Sure. First of all, I was proud about 4 years ago to lead the fight to require, as is now the law, a voter-verified paper trail. And in fact, just this last election, I was voting at electronic voting machine and proud to see that voter-verified paper trail exactly the way I want it. Yes, I'm aware of that. I'm working on legislation right now with another Assembly member from Southern California on open-source software for these voting machines.
All right, Dave, quickly, one more.
Yeah, voting machines are designed to cheat, but I'm also, if a bill is being offered, and it is, impeach Cheney and Bush from the state level, would you jump on board with that?
Yes, I absolutely don't think this president has done a service to the United States, both in nationally and internationally.
Got to stop there. I'm out of time. Thank you, Assemblyman Lloyd Levine, Democrat from...
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Virginia Tech turns to the future.
We're going to work with our families and our community and get this place up and running.
Alberto Gonzalez on the hot seat.
Nothing improper occurred here.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. At today's Virginia Tech press briefing, university spokesman Larry Hinker said it's time to start getting back to normal.
We have got to move forward. We cannot let this horror define Virginia Tech.
There's controversy on campus and elsewhere over the news media's extensive use of a video made by killer Sung-hee Jo. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
Law enforcement officials had thought they might learn something from the video when it was handed over by NBC, but that wasn't the case.
The package simply confirmed what we already knew in many, many cases.
And Virginia State Police Colonel Steve Flaherty says he was disappointed the video was aired and seen by a community so grief-stricken.
I'm sorry that you were all exposed to these images.
Virginia Tech officials are preparing for the students Monday with additional counselors. With the semester ending, students killed at the massacre will be awarded their degrees posthumously. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Blacksburg, Virginia.
Monday will come too soon for Rochelle Lowe, whose suite mate Caitlin Hammerin was among the 32 people murdered.
Right now, I think going back to my room and seeing her stuff, taking a shower and seeing like her little spongy thing like hanging with mine, like, where is she? I want her back.
Now this.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
I need directions. I'm going to Scotch Lane in New Jersey.
Introducing OnStar turn-by-turn navigation. Just press the OnStar button and tell the advisor your destination. The route will be sent to your vehicle, and an automated voice will guide you through every turn.
I'm very excited by this new turn-by-turn feature. It's like having somebody who knows exactly where they live sitting next to me.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
Absolutely.
No need to print out driving directions or hassle with a portable GPS device.
Your turn-by-turn navigation will begin.
Can I tell you something? I know how to get there. I just want to use the service.
I don't blame you. Thank you for using OnStar.
Turn-by-turn navigation is the simplest and smartest navigation system, and it's available on many new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Start out going north on Route 10.
Requires ABS and directions and connections plan. Not available in certain areas.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, trying to explain his role in the federal prosecutor firings, had a rough time today before the Senate Judiciary Committee. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The long day of testimony started badly as the committee's ranking Republican Arlen Specter pressed Gonzalez on how his testimony contradicted documents and sworn statements from his staff.
Senator, I don't want to quarrel with you.
I don't want you to either. I just want you to answer the question.
It just got worse as Gonzalez tried to convince openly skeptical senators he didn't lie to them about why he fired eight U.S. attorneys.
My decision to ask for the resignations of these U.S. attorneys is justified and should stand.
Democratic senators excoriated Gonzalez. Republicans said they flat out didn't believe him. Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn said he should go.
And I believe the best way to put this behind us is your resignation.
But Gonzalez says he did nothing improper and has no reason to leave. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Just half an hour ago in Selmer, Tennessee.
The verdict reads as follows. We, the jury, find the defendant, Mary C. Winkler, guilty of voluntary manslaughter.
Mary Winkler's husband, Reverend Matthew Winkler, was killed by a shotgun blast in the back as the couple argued in their bedroom. Mary Winkler testified that she'd been physically, emotionally, and sexually abused by her husband, but claimed the gun went off by accident. If she'd been convicted of first-degree murder, it would have meant 60 years in prison. Conviction on the lesser charge means she'll likely be out in a few years. Several schools around the country confronted threatening situations today. At Todd Beamer High School in Federal Way, Washington, police say they arrested a student who had three loaded handguns and extra ammunition. Schools in Yuba City and Marysville, California, were locked down as a precaution. Sheriff Jim Denny says a 28-year-old homeless man had threatened to make Virginia Tech look mild by comparison.
He made specific statements with regard to the fact that he was going to commit suicide. Hopefully, suicide by cop was a statement he had made, that he intended to take out as many people as he could, and especially law enforcement officers.
Kalamazoo Valley Community College in Michigan closed for the rest of the week after a threat was posted on a blog. A suspect is in custody. Classes at Catholic High School near Ann Arbor were canceled after the words Virginia Tech Today were scrawled on a bathroom wall. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, my neighbor has termites. Should I worry?
Absolutely. The fact is that termites can damage as many homes as fires.
I know it. Honey, I told you they'd ruin the neighborhood.
Who, the termites or the neighbors?
Take your pick.
Well, either way, there's no need to worry, as long as you have an Orkin Home Protection Plan.
Ooh, thank my heavens. You got anything to keep his dogs off my lawn?
Different show.
Nabbit, I'll call back.
Okay, but for a free termite inspection, call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Hi, what can I get you, sir?
I'll have a tall cappuccino with a touch of cinnamon and some peace of mind, please.
You got it.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection. You even get a vehicle history report, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
Oh, and I'll have some confidence, too.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, Margie Burns, who is a correspondent for the Brad Blog, will be joining us. She was in Washington today, attending the hearings where Alberto Gonzalez attempted to explain his way out of the mess he's created. And a lot of senators aren't buying it. We'll get the lowdown from Margie about an hour from now. But first, it's time for our weekly visit with Scott Dick. He served in the U.S. Marine Corps and then retired from the Army as a major. He helps me understand the inner workings and the wonky acronyms that populate the military community. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
I know you went out for a jog. How many miles and how do you feel?
I feel old and fat, and it was like 3 miles in 77 minutes. No, I'm kidding. But I could have just, you know, you normally use, when I was in the Army, you use a calendar to time my 3-mile run.
I see. Well, Scott, there's plenty to talk about today. I want to open up the phone lines if people have issues that they want to discuss about veterans, about military, about the war in Iraq. You can join us toll-free at 888-573-8372. It translates to 888-5 Peter B. Yesterday, one of the most violent and death-filled days in Iraq. More than 170 Iraqis were killed in several different incidents. 5 bombs in Baghdad alone went off. And yet the White House maintains that the surge is working, and the president was totally resistant to the pleas of Pelosi and Reid yesterday in the one-hour meeting that they held. There's still basically just a stalemate over the next round of funding for this war in Iraq.
Well, Peter, you know, John Boehner, or Bonner, however you pronounce his name.
He actually says Boehner.
Boehner?
Yeah.
How do you get that out of OE? And I know
it's German.
Yeah, that would be Boehner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in Ohio, he calls it Boehner.
Yeah. Well, and a yes vote for Kerry is a yes vote for Bush.
Mm-hmm.
He said they don't want to set a date for surrender, they're spinning this. They don't have a leg to stand on. Congress has exactly the right to do what they're doing, and I think that instead of trying to paint, this is more trying to paint the Democrats as losers, as defeatists, as it's mind-boggling. It just makes me crazy.
Well, I agree. It's infuriating to hear this because it does a couple of things. One is you wonder what Boehner, Boehner, or whatever he calls himself, is going to say when the facts are in, and whether we retreat or whatever, there will be no military victory in Iraq. And a political settlement might give us a face-saving way to leave the country, but I think it's pretty clear from the military leaders who've spoken up that there isn't any kind of a military solution to this internecine warfare that is going on among the different factions in Iraq, and we are simply caught in the crossfire.
I think this is a tremendous case of hubris and conceit on Bush's part. I think the big problem is, Peter, is that he does not want to leave Iraq while he's still president, because that will prove to, without a shadow of a doubt, historically, that he was wrong. He can always claim, if another president has to pull us out of Iraq, that he meant to follow the job from start to finish, blah, blah, ad nauseum, make me want to vomit, I hear him talk about Iraq again. And so this is just a chance for him to try to eke out the next, what has he got left, 16 months?
Yeah.
And prolong this as long as he can, and if he can take some Democrats, if he thinks he can take some Democrats with him to try to set up the 2008 presidential election, he will do it. In the meantime, our guys are dying in Iraq. They're plunged in the middle of a civil war, full-blown civil war in, I don't know, if you staged civil wars in stages, this would be stage 3. This is where all the chaos and the real bloodshed's going to go, come about, whether we're there or not. And I just want to keep reminding people about what Tucker wrote about China in her book. The last line of the book was, "China went her own way as if the Americans had never come," and that's going to be that was the same for Vietnam, and it's going to be the same as Iraq.
Yeah. And you know, we touched on this briefly last week, but it still is seared in my memory that one day, and I believe it was Tuesday last week, the president started threatening that because the Democrats hadn't coughed up the $100 billion without any strings attached, that troops and their families might suffer. And that, we might have to extend tours and families can't be reunited as quickly. And then the very next day, Robert Gates, his defense secretary, announces an across-the-board extension of 1-year tours to 15 months. And it really seems that there's disarray there and confusion because this White House, when Rumsfeld was at the Pentagon, they were pretty disciplined, and the rhetoric and the public messaging was very carefully controlled. Now we see the president, and maybe he's the one who's off the reservation, who is just, you know, spouting and kind of fumbling around looking for ways to pressure the Democrats. And his own threat was eviscerated by his own Secretary of Defense within 24 hours.
Well, Rumsfeld had the goose step down. Now with Gates, I don't know if he's just staggering around or from the whiplash he's probably getting from his senior military advisors and the political his political bosses. I don't envy that guy whatsoever. And with Bush, if he can paint this as a war against the troops instead of doing the right thing according to the congressional mandate from the 2006 election, he'll do that. The guy has no morals whatsoever. He will lie, cheat, and steal, I think, to stall for the next 16 months. No doubt. And, you know, I'm starting to see these right-wing talking heads like Scarborough saying they're sick of the debate about Iraq. We need to finish the job. Well, I'm still waiting, Peter, for the job that we're supposed to finish. Instill democracy in what is fundamentally going to be impossible until the Iraqis do it themselves. Can you explain the mission to me? Because I haven't seen one document that said this is the mission.
No, I don't know what the mission is.
Yeah, catch bullets and run over IEDs. That's the mission for our soldiers. Because when they're on patrol, I don't know what they're supposed to be doing either. Paving the way, providing security for reconstruction? No, because there's no reconstruction going on anymore. Pave the way to provide security for the Iraqi elite to haul their billions of dollars out of Iraq to Switzerland? Perhaps. There's a lot of people getting rich in Iraq, and it's not the average Iraqi citizen, and it's not the average American soldier.
Well, and Scott, just to add to the kind of rhetorical whiplash going on here, we now have Defense Secretary Robert Gates in Baghdad, and on his way he stopped off in Tel Aviv, and essentially he's threatening the government in Baghdad, saying you've got to move this reconciliation along much faster. And so while the administration doesn't acknowledge it, they are using the pressure that Congress is putting on the president and that he is resisting to argue to the Maliki government that you better get your ships together here because we're going to be pulling out of here real soon. And if that isn't a confusing and very mixed message, well, I'm not sure what the term means.
Well, I think Gates is just there for U.S. domestic consumption. So Bush can say, look, we're pressuring the Iraqis. We have every intention of leaving when the job is done, and it's just Congress is getting in our way to making this a success. There's no timeline, there's no timetable, there's no military strategy for this so-called success, but the Democrats, by sending him a bill that's uncluttered, that's clean, they even use words like that, clean, a clean bill, then somehow they're going to be successful. So if 10,000 guys die, if 50,000 Americans die in Iraq, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him because those idiots, those chicken hawks have never served a day in uniform. Or, you know, I guess you call a flight suit a uniform. All my Air Force friends, don't send me emails. I know it's a uniform. I'm talking about people who evaded the draft by going into the National Guard and then deserting after that. But guys like Cheney, Sixth Deferment Cheney, you know, those kind of characters, it's easy to send troops into harm's way when you've never even stood in line in the chow hall. You know, it's just frustrates me to no end.
Well, coming up after the break here, we'll come back with the Chicken Hawk song just to give people something to hum along to. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to bring forward, now's a good time. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. You don't like what I'm saying? Well, try loudmouth at peterbcollins.com. It'll reach me. This program's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is our assistant producer, taking your calls today. And you can visit our website for the live stream, the archive programs, and a picture of yours truly at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Please join us Monday nights at 10 p.m. for The Week in Politics with your host, Todd Hurlbert and T.C. Rafe. We'll cover presidential politics, see what's going on in Washington, D.C., and take a look at the local issues. And that taxi guy just might show up with an opinion or two. See you Monday at 10.
And let's take a look at traffic. A very pleasant good afternoon to you. And we got a big problem in Campbell, northbound 17 in Hamilton, traveling on Highway 17. An overturned box truck is blocking the two left lanes. California Highway Patrol has issued what we call a SIG alert. So it looks like traffic is slow from Highway 85. Southbound 101 is slow from 101. So need to tell you about that particular problem. We'd like to tell you about, how about Marina, southbound 1 at 1st Street, large box blocking the left lane. Also want to tell you about Live Oak, Harper Street at Willow Court. We have a stalled pickup truck blocking one of the lanes, and it's causing a bit of a problem there, so that's why we're telling you about it. Meanwhile, we also want to mention this report is brought to you by ARCO. ARCO would like to remind drivers out there of a few things. First, always yield to pedestrians. Second, you're the only one who likes to hear the sound of your horn. And third, never pay too much for gas. ARCO, Phil Smart. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is Roy Zimmerman.
Well, my son asked me today, is this another Vietnam? I said, son, you know, it's go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried because they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly. We'll send someone else's boy because we all make sacrifices. And in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake.
Chicken hawk.
Call me a chicken hawk. Proud to be a chicken hawk, a loyal armchair jock. Let's check that Lockheed stock. I didn't walk
thought you might have seen some action there on the front line. Don't insult the guys who served their country here on the back nine. I was gung-ho, gunning-ho, but I just had other priorities.
Oh, yeah.
Like feeling more at ease.
Like Dick Cheney.
I said, bomb them to hell, but I'd rather not be Kentucky Fried.
Chicken Hawk. I think that bass voice that does Chicken Hawk is actually sampled from the Dick Cheney collection. Not positive. If you want more of those wacky tunes, go to RoyZimmerman.com. We continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's what Jake did. Hello, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Scott. You know, I love that song. I mean, it just sums it all up. You know, let's face it. We have Bush, who was AWOL from the National Guard. We have Cheney, who never served, who got, you know, what, 5-6 deferments, so he could be the intern with the governor of Wyoming. Then you have, you know, these new candidates, you know, the Mitt Romneys, the Newt Gingriches. You know, none of these guys served a day in the military, but they're all military experts, and somehow they're all war heroes, according to the media. You know, Giuliani, for instance. Yeah, these guys don't have a clue. And what I would like to know is why the Bush administration is being allowed to get away with taking the tours of everyone who's over there in Iraq and extending them out 3 months. You know, nobody signed up for that. What are the Democrats going to do to try to stop this?
Well, it is a backdoor draft, Scott. What recourse do troops have? They've signed contracts, but those can be kind of unilaterally changed by the government. Is that right?
And they have been. You did stop loss. So there is nothing that a soldier or his family can do. And most of these young troops, they just put their heads down and they try to make it through another Groundhog Day. It's in Bosnia, it was the same day. They just repeated themselves over and over and over again. And from what I'm hearing in Iraq, that's they call it Groundhog Day because every day is exactly the same unless you or one of your friends gets shot or blown up. And it's a real tough existence. Now they're coming up with this plan to give troops that are deployed beyond their 12-month tour comp time, like a civilian corporation.
Well, didn't they give them a raise, an extra $1,000 a month?
They are giving them an extra $1,000 a month. So if you're an Army major, just like I was, a division staff in the green zone, and never go out on patrol, never leave, you know, go to the swimming pool, go to work in the office 12 hours, and go back to your hooch, you get the same money that a young kid, well, you actually get more, a heck of a lot more money than a young troop who's out there walking patrols. And now they come up with this scheme to give them comp time. Most of, you know, I left the Army with 60 days of leave. That's how much time they let me have off. It took, and I took a bunch of leave before that. They just don't let people go on leave. And can you imagine any unit prepping to go to combat, they're going to let these kids take leave? So they're going to get comp time, and it's going to be just about as useless as regular leave time.
Wow.
And this kid who they're reporting Army Times, his mom is on life support. She's dying, and he asked for an extra week from his unit. He's on two weeks R&R from his unit in Iraq, and they told him no.
Wow.
So, you know, comp time, it sounds good, but it's going to be for the guy that goes back for whatever reason, and he's going back to the rear area, and then he'll get his extra, you know, he'll get whatever time it gets. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Jake, anything else?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to, you know, let the listeners know that they do need to keep up the pressure on all their elected representatives, whether Republicans or Democrats. I mean, the public, 70% wants this war over with, but unfortunately, you know, there's economic interests that give money to both sides that want to see this war continue. And unless we speak up, unless we do something about this, it's just going to keep on going.
There's also some pretty atrocious politics involved, Jake, where, as we've described here, there's this game of chicken going on to see who can force the other side to take the blame for not supporting the troops. And, you know, I agree with Barbara Lee and Maxine Waters. The true way to support the troops is to end this war and bring them home.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Jake.
Appreciate your call. Now, Scott, help me with this one. We have seen the White House proclaiming, as part of this threat process that Bush has undertaken to the Democrats in Congress, that if they don't act soon, that it's going to hurt the troops, that the money will not be flowing to give them what they need. And I don't buy it. We know that from the Congressional Budget Office that July 15th is when they're actually going to start to feel the pinch. But the president has said that it could happen as soon as really a couple of weeks from now, the 1st of May. And here's an article from the New York Times a couple of days ago saying that Army cost cutting in this budget standoff to move that money around will actually cost us more money. And that's reasonable. I mean, I can understand there are costs to, you know, moving your cash flow. But ultimately, aren't they just playing games with our troops while they pretend sanctimoniously that they stand there to protect the troops?
Oh, yeah. You couldn't have put it better. I mean, the money is there's appropriated funds, and there, as a contractor, you're not allowed to contract. You know, as a government official, you're not allowed to contract unless there's money appropriated for that. There is money appropriated. I can't believe that they're running this close to the budget. And it makes no sense. The troops have containers and containers and containers of spare parts and food and water sitting at ports all over that have been bought and paid for. The only troops, I think, that might get hurt by this money crunch is the Blackwater troops and the Halliburton troops and the KBR troops, and I'm not so sure that all those don't deserve to get pinched a little bit at $150,000 a year.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to quit doing their work. They're going to just get, their payments will be delayed. That's the way it is. And under the Feed and Forage Act of 18, I think, Peter, you looked it up, 1892.
Right.
Those troops are going to be taken care of, and the government's going to have to write a bunch of IOUs, which they do anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to run to a break. We'll continue. If you'd like to call and talk with me and Scott Dick, you're welcome to do so. Lines open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk.
Hi,
for the Monterey
I'm Patty
Bay
Ross,
area.
Realtor.
KRXA 540,
what pops into your
Carmel
mind
Valley,
when you
Monterey,
hear the word
Salinas,
real estate?
Santa Cruz.
Security?
Think for yourself.
Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
A sobering thought. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. It's all anybody wants to see, the Sung Hee Jo Manifesto. We all want to learn something from it. We certainly learned that he wanted to be immortal, and he knew how to do it, send a scary DVD to a news organization, knowing it would live forever on the web. But does his manifesto give us any clues as to who may be next? He hates rich people. He thought he was surrounded by depravity. If anything, he sounds like Al-Qaeda. And it makes you wonder, suppose the real threat to our national security is from guys like this. Then what do? He may be ethnically Korean, but he'd been in America a long time. Yes, his English papers seem particularly spooky. Maybe the school should have acted on them. But if we're going to detain students for their spooky English papers, Guantanamo would fill up pretty quickly. We've learned that a classic suicide terrorist can be spawned in an American college dormitory, living in close quarters among roommates who saw him every day but had no idea what he was really up to. And we've learned something about our own expectations. We expect to be protected from people like this. There has been some anger directed at the Virginia Tech administration for not locking down the campus after the first shooting. And I had a sobering thought. Yesterday, in Baghdad, four car bombs left close to 200 people dead, more than six Virginia Techs, in one day. If we end up blaming the administration of the university for failing to stop what happened Monday, what must the average Iraqi be thinking about us? Now this.
Brenda Coates is a real GEICO customer, not a paid celebrity. So to help tell her story, we hired Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Last year, I was rear-ended by a GEICO customer.
I was hit in the rear.
First thought in my mind was about that funny lizard.
Lizard licks his eyeball.
I was so impressed with how they handled my claim, I switched.
I hope I'll never get hit in the rear again.
GEICO. Real service, real savings.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, be the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Our lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. The number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Scott, I want to try something out on you here. During the break, Brian went to the White House website, and we were able to pull up the comments that the president gave at the memorial service at Virginia Tech the other day. And I want to freely acknowledge to our Republican monitors that I'm going to take this out of context. But I'd like you to listen to a few lines from the president's speech, and then I'll pose a question to you.
Okay.
It's impossible to make sense of such violence and suffering. Those whose lives were taken did nothing to deserve their fate. They were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now they're gone, and they leave behind grieving families and grieving classmates and a grieving nation. And I heard that comment, and this is not an original thought. Rabbi Arthur Waskow was with us on Tuesday, I think, and he had just heard the president give this speech, and he said he thought of the people of Iraq when he heard that comment. It's impossible to make sense of such violence and suffering. They were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. What do you make of that?
Well, I wanted to bring this up and didn't earlier, Peter. When I was at the University of Kentucky as an Army captain finishing my bachelor's degree, because the Army was so inclined to have all their officers in the uniform with a college degree, I was late for a paper one morning, and I was listening to the radio, and we had a shooter on the campus. So I called the school and said, wow, and this is great, because I was really crashing trying to finish this paper, and I was behind. And I said, the school's closed, right, because of this shooter? And they said, no, school's wide open. Come to class. Just don't go around the ROTC building, because he's actually in a garage near the ROTC building. I was appalled that they would have a campus open when there was a shooter on the property. And I was in the ROTC building the next day talking to a student, had his car was shot up by the guy. And that was in 1986, at University of Kentucky. People can check it out in the press report. So when I heard the same thing happened at Virginia Tech, those kids were exactly where they were supposed to be. They were in their classrooms studying because nobody closed the campus, which I don't understand. So what he said was dead wrong. It's because of gun violence and our mental health system that's so screwed up that allows these kids to stay in school. It allows soldiers with PTSD and traumatic brain injury to just be kicked out of the military because it saves money instead of giving them VA benefits. I think it's one of the it's added to the list of the top 20 stupid things that Bush has said since he was appointed as our president.
Yeah, it is remarkable. Now, to your point, the one thing, and I have to acknowledge that I have a limit of how much of this tabloid wall-to-wall coverage that I can handle. And so I have not absorbed every detail about the shootings at Virginia Tech. I, you know, have a good understanding, but again, I haven't read every word and watched every moment of coverage of the carnage and the aftermath. But one thing I heard that does persuade me about why they didn't clear the campus was that they thought the initial incident in the dormitory was essentially isolated, probably, you know, some sort of a personal argument or a love affair gone wrong, and that they didn't have a way to close the campus. Something like 45 or 55% of the students are commuters or live off campus. And they did finally around, I think, 9:30, send out an email telling people to stay in their rooms. But the argument they offered was that they had no idea what was going to happen next and that they didn't have a practical way to send everybody home or keep them from arriving on campus that morning.
So about, you know, I think that's a that's the lamest excuse that I've heard in a long time. You have schools of that size that have a police force, that have the ability to move large groups of people around that they want, they don't want in one place, but they do want another. They have, they manage to run massive football games with crowds of hundreds of thousands of people, and you tell me that they don't have a system for getting the word out. This is one of those things where I think inexperienced law enforcement with no, I don't know, it just with so little imagination, it boggles my mind.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know when I heard on the radio that the person was still hadn't been captured yet, I said, what am I doing going into school? This was ridiculous. Everybody just come to class, even though there's a shooter on campus. So the experienced police officer, I don't know, campus cops, bless their heart, I don't know, Peter. You know, you look at a crime scene, murder, suicide, there's no weapons or anything. I mean, give me a break. That's what they said. Well, we thought it was a murder, suicide. Well, were there any weapons found? Well, no. But, you know, it's a murder, and so the campus isn't closed. We'll just let everything just run the way that everything's just normal. Isolated incident. They'll know better now. But, you know, the cost is, and of course, it's hindsight is they always say armchair quarterbacks. Well, yeah, our high schools are treated differently now because of Columbine. It's a, I don't know, it's a lame, lousy excuse, and they, in fact, they sent emails. That is one of those, well, we'll send them an email. Everybody carries their phones and has email-equipped phones. You know, that's not the way it works.
Yeah. All right, let's take a call. Pat from Eureka, join us. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Yeah, hi, Peter. How you doing today?
Okay, thanks.
Good. Yeah, you know, and I say this, first of all, preface my comment. I want to see this war ended. I want to see everybody home as soon as possible. If it could be yesterday, that's what I'd like. But, you know, I keep hearing people saying, you know, why isn't there more outcry or, you know, and people out there when the protests come along and stuff. And, you know what, it struck me the other day that the youth, the people in Vietnam that really had the most to lose haven't been engaged in this because they don't have to worry about it at this point. And so when I say this, I say, you know what? We should institute the draft.
You're sounding like Charlie Rangel.
You know, that's the only way you're going to get it, because if you look at the pictures of these protests, it's the people that went through Vietnam originally and older generations. The youth at this point, it's not their war.
Well, you have a very important point there, and I'll just underscore it by saying that this has been one of my comments over the years. Many people think of the anti-war movement from the Vietnam era and say, whatever happened to it? You know, why doesn't it become a political activist cell in the United States? And, you know, why didn't it propel certain candidates forward over the years? And I've always argued that the draft did make the Vietnam War a clear and present threat to virtually everyone of draft age in the United States, particularly when they took away the deferments that Dick Cheney took advantage of in the earlier years. And when they moved to the draft lottery, I was selected, this is the only time I've ever really won big time, I was selected as number four. in what turned out to be the final draft lottery. And you bet, it certainly made me think about the Vietnam War and the prospect of being drafted into service in a very, very personal way. Scott?
Well, the draft is when you have a war with a draft, it's a people's war. Supposedly everybody's supposed to participate and be exposed to the same dangers that everybody else might be. But now we have a privatized war. We professionalize the military by making them all volunteers. And I put that in quotation marks because we know they're not all volunteers. And if we really eliminated stop loss and let people out of their contracts, our military would be even on shakier ground than it is now. If we weren't offering the bonuses, Peter, have gone to $1 billion. It was $245 million in 2002. And now we paid $1 billion in bonuses. So where we really have created a sort of professionalized, very well-trained, very well-groomed mercenary army, and most people in the United States can't relate to that at all. Even the pictures they show in the media show them, they look like robots. They're all wearing the same uniform. They have the same stuff on their helmets. They got the same. They wear those cat-eye fragment-resistant sunglasses. Everybody looks, they look like RoboCop. They're depersonalized, and until you really start reading the literature about individual soldiers and their families that have died or lost limbs or have PTSD or traumatic brain injury, it's impossible, I think, for the average American, young or old, to really, unless they're a combat veteran themselves, get their head around this. And we haven't changed anything. We've given big tax giveaways to the rich and the Republican cronies. The big corporations that are big supporters of the right, they're making a lot of billions of dollars. We're still going and having our parties, our fancy dinners. Proms haven't been canceled. We don't have victory gardens. The average citizen, they don't know how they're going to suffer in 10 years because of our economy and the deficit. But right now, nobody's suffering.
Yep, no war bonds or anything like that. You make very good points there, Scott. And as you were saying that, I'm thinking of Robert Reich, who was Bill Clinton's labor secretary. He made a proposal, I think it was in either late 2003 or early 2004, that in order to pay for the war in Iraq, that Bush should roll back the tax cuts for the wealthy. And I thought it was an interesting proposal, not as an effort to punish a certain group or class of people, but to spread the load of this war and to give everybody some proverbial skins in the game. If we all felt that, we probably would have had a withdrawal plan underway by now.
That's the real cost of the war is huge, Peter, and 49% of our deficit, and there's a nonpartisan group that does nothing but study our deficit. They reported last year that 49% of our deficit comes from that 1% richest, wealthiest American tax giveaway that Bush signed into law. It was last year or 2005. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. So they're saying that in a time of war, we shouldn't be attacking our president. In a time of war, we shouldn't be giving money, tax money away to the top 10% richest Americans in the United States, sometimes the world. It's crazy. It's counterintuitive, and it's just another way that Bush keeps that 32% of his base fully propagandized and on his side.
And pandered to, yeah. Pat, thank you for a call.
Okay, thanks.
I really appreciate it. Now to Bob in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, hello, Peter. I wanted to talk about Virginia Tech, and I feel like because you all were talking about it a little bit, then I felt like it, once it got back into the war, maybe I was out of place. But
you're not out of line. Not on this show, Bob. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a book that I was introduced to by a lady named Patricia Evans, and she's from San Francisco. She's a counselor for domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is very important. It was certainly important to me. The name of the book is A Verbally Abusive Relationship. Now, about this fella in Virginia, this book is basically directed at women concerning stalking, concerning beatings and things like that.
All right.
And this gentleman, I won't call him a gentleman, this fella in Virginia fit all the profiles. And I think it's unfortunate that the people in this country cannot seem to, that the authorities in this country cannot seem to recognize this kind of thing. For instance, here in North Carolina, just last summer, a man stalked his ex-wife, broke into a women's shelter, and murdered people there. This is just, you know, a couple of people.
Yeah.
But this is typical of what is going on. And it goes much larger than that. Verbal abuse. This goes back to last week in Don Imus.
Mm-hmm.
Don Imus is a verbal abuser.
Yes, he is.
and in this book, he is what he is described as is a trivializer.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, his verbal abuse was the attempt to discount the success of this women's basketball team.
Gotcha. Hey, Bob, I'm up against a break. Do you have more to say?
Oh, I have so much more to
say. Then why don't you
probably not as well as I could say.
Well, hang on and practice for 3 minutes. We'll get right back to you.
All right,
okay?
Thank you.
All right, stay with us. And if you'd like to join this conversation, feel free. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Of international use, the American medical profession is finally realizing the great value of essential oils. That's why the FDA has reclassified them as new OTC drugs. You need to protect your right to use this sacred medicine. Native Health Sacred Copal is that protection. Essential oils delivered from a traditional Native American basis. Call 1-866-972-3461 and ask for information on protecting your sacred right to heal. Would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Let's take a look at the latest. We're going to start off with a big problem out of Campbell on northbound 17 in Hamilton. We have a sig alert issue there from the CHP, and it's, again, northbound 17 in Hamilton. Overturned Bach trucks has finally been cleared. The problem, traffic very slow from Highway 85. Southbound is slow from Stevens Creek Boulevard. Meanwhile, let's go over to Live Oak, Harper Street at Willow Court. We have a stalled pickup truck blocking a lane there. Hollister Fraser Lake Road at Shore Road. We have a motorhome pulling a trailer that's partially blocking the roadway there. Other than that, no major stalls or accidents to tell you about. And CHP is saying everything looking pretty good. This report brought to you by the Toyota Prius. Toyota Prius with an EPA estimated 60 miles per gallon. In the city, visit your local Toyota dealer and find out why the Prius is the one car more people are saying they would buy again. Prius, yes. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Right after the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Margie Byrne. She's a correspondent for the Brad Blog, and she observed the hearings of Alberto Gonzalez before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. She'll give us a blow-by-blow, denial-by-denial, bluff-by-bluff account. We continue with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues, and we're talking still with Bob in North Carolina. Go ahead, Bob. What else did you want to add?
Well, Well, yeah, this book I was talking about, and first I'd like to direct you and your listeners to her website, which all they have to do is Google verbal abuse or the name of the author, Patricia Evans, right. P-A-T-R-I-C-I-A, Evans, E-V-A-N-S, and they will find out a lot. One of the things she says, and I'm also, this relates to what your guest is talking about, and of course it relates to Don Imus, is that anger is a drug. This is what she says, and it was the most one of the most enlightening things to me, perhaps because maybe I'm a bit of a victim of this. But anger is a drug, and we have pushers out there. I'm among them. and it works like a drug where somebody has anger, and they want to, they need to get their fix, and then they need to get their release.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? And this
oh, I do. And while I deplore the fact that NBC decided to release the videotape so immediately, Mr. Cho himself exhibited that on the video testimonial that he left behind.
Well, I think what information we have about him makes it very clear that he was an abuser and a power freak, which relates to what Miss Evans wrote in her book,
mm-hmm.
that he could not control his own life, so therefore he had to take control over other lives. This, I mean, you know, this goes right into George Bush's situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, thanks for bringing that forward. I appreciate it. I want to move on to some other topics. But
I'm sure you do. I hope people will check out that website. All they have to do is Google verbal abuse, and they will see her website there in San Francisco. And they, if folks don't understand this, they need to. And I think this, if we understood this better, I think we could identify our problems a little bit
very good.
Correctly.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
now,
good night, Peter.
Scott, on a kind of related issue, but something that is troubling and that connects back to a really kind of dark story that you first brought to our attention. The Reverend Fred Phelps and his followers from the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, they're the ones who have been infuriating people and offending many by conducting protests and picket lines at the funerals of soldiers who've died in Iraq. And as if that were not offensive enough, now they plan to preach at the funerals of Virginia Tech students killed on campus during the rampage on Monday. And on their website, it reads, "You describe this as monumental horror." I think it's referring to the killings, not to their plans. "But you know nothing of horror yet. Your bloody tyrant Bush says he is horrified by it all. You know nothing of horror yet. Your true horror is coming. They shall also," this is a quote from Ezekiel, "they shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon all their heads." And then they answer the question that they pose, why did this happen? It's simple. Your military chose to shoot at the servants of God today, and all they got for their effort was terror. Then the Lord your God sent a crazed madman to shoot at your children. Was God asleep while this took place? Was he on vacation? Of course not. He willed this to happen to punish you for assailing his servants. Now, of course, this is irrational, and it's got to be as offensive to believing Christians as it is to anyone else. But it's hard to believe that they are so tasteless and insensitive that they would surface with this ugly message at this sensitive time.
I believe it. They're fruitcakes, but where's the chorus of derision from our so-called evangelical leaders? You're the first one, Peter, that's brought that. I'm looking at the web all the time. I'm looking at the major news organizations. I see nothing by those other three fruitcakes calling the fourth fruitcake a fruitcake.
Well, you have a good point. And I got this from one of my favorite listeners and correspondents. Her name is Jean, and she's in Canada, Toronto, I believe. And she calls the web and sends me interesting stories, five or six, sometimes 10 a day. And this came in yesterday, and it was posted on a blog called the Pensito Review. And that is at Pensito, P-E-N-S-I-T-O, review.com.
Hey, Peter, when you get a chance, I want to get this in before the end of the hour. Senator Reid just came out and said the war is lost. disc broke.
Uh-huh.
And are you going to finish that?
Yeah, go right ahead. We've got time.
And, of course, that triggered an angry backlash by Republicans who said the Democrat has turned his back on the troops. So Reid says, I believe myself that the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and you have to make your own decisions as to what the president knows. Know that this war is lost and the surge is not accomplishing anything as indicated by the extreme violence in Iraq yesterday, said Reid. Republicans pounced on the comment as evidence that Democrats do not support the troops. Mitch McConnell, who is the biggest weasel apologist, who was elected while I was at University of Kentucky, by the way, for the Bush administration, I can't begin to imagine how our troops in the field, since he's never been in uniform, who are risking their lives every day, are going to react when they get back to base and hear that the Democratic leader of the United States, Democrat leader of the United States Senate has declared the war is lost, said McConnell. And then you get farther down, and in the same article, Bush said that he would veto either measure and warned the troops are being harmed by Congress failure to deliver the funds quickly. However, the Pentagon has said it has enough money to pay for the Iraq war through June. The Army is taking prudent measures like they did last year when the Republican-led Congress did not deliver a war funding bill to Bush until mid-June.
Right. With pork. It had some attachments to it, too.
Liars on top of liars.
Well, Scott, thank you for breaking that for us. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Peter.
Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, and for our listeners at KRXA 540 in Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, he's the host of the Tasty Planet Show every Saturday afternoon, 1 to 4 on KRXA. Coming up next, a first-person report from the Gonzales Hearing Room. Margie Burns of Bradlog is going to join us next, and we'll open up the phones to talk with you next hour in the Free Speech Zone, too. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Friday, 7:25 a.m.
I'm calling to register my disappointment in this decision that you made today to put the show on for 2 hours. It's barely listenable for 5 minutes, let alone 2 hours. I don't understand the thinking to take the show over an intelligent and funny, informative program such as Stephanie Miller or any of the other talk shows. I think it's a bad decision. You've lost me as a listener. I will now listen online to other stations.
End of messages.
People try to put us to down. Just because we could get around.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Many students have gone home, but Virginia Tech plans to resume classes on Monday. Spokesman Larry Hinker says it's time to start thinking about the future.
We grieve for our families and friends. We cannot understand how something like this happened. And our university is going to have to try to find a way to move forward.
Fox News says it will no longer show the video made by killer Sung-hee Jo. Other networks, including CBS News, have strictly curtailed usage after protests from some victims' parents.
I'm Sharon Alfonsi with students who hope the video would help them understand Jo.
The video was just... I just lost it.
It didn't.
You know, I mostly just wanted to see his face and what his eyes were. But other than his background, I really don't care. I mean, he's just a madman.
That madman lived 12 feet away from Karan Grewal, and he did see something he recognized in the video, the walls of his dorm room.
The backdrop looks exactly like our suite. The chair that he's sitting on looks exactly like the one in our suite.
Grewal shared a suite with Jo for the last year.
He thinks the attack might have been planned all year. Grewal says Jo started going to the gym, possibly so he'd look fit when he took pictures of himself. A high school student in Federal Way, Washington, was arrested today when he brought 3 handguns and ammunition to class. The weapons had been stolen this morning from the home of a state trooper. 3 others are missing. Police think the boy was planning to sell the guns, not use them. 2 school districts in Northern California went into lockdown today after a man reportedly threatened to make Virginia Tech look mild by comparison. Even some Republicans were hostile today when Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez went before the Senate Judiciary Committee to talk about the firings of eight federal prosecutors.
Gonzalez acknowledged mistakes but said he won't resign.
I believe that I continue to be effective as the Attorney General of the United States.
But under intense questioning, Gonzalez has had to repeatedly defend his honesty and contradict testimony of his own staff. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham didn't buy the explanations for the firing of the prosecutor.
Some of these people just had personality conflicts with people in your office or at the White House, and, you know, we made up reasons to fire them. Some of it sounds good, some of it doesn't.
The Democrats say they see more sinister political motives involved. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A jury in Selmer, Tennessee has found Mary Winkler guilty of voluntary manslaughter in the fatal shooting of her minister husband last year. She could have been convicted of murder, so defense attorney Steve Faree says this isn't bad.
I guess it's the difference between getting hit on the head with a bowling ball and hit on the head with a tennis ball. I think we'd prefer the tennis ball.
Winkler could get 3 to 6 years in prison. She testified yesterday that her husband was abusive behind closed doors and she wanted a divorce, but insisted the gun went off accidentally. On Wall Street, the Dow up another 4 points to close at a new record, 12,808. The price of oil dropped more than $1 a barrel today. This is CBS News.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time professional-looking documents. And Work-Life Rewards members receive 15% back on qualified design, print, and ship depot purchases. Just bring us your document or go online at officedepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand. Minimum purchase spend required. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
They were a family in search of opportunity when they went west on the Oregon Trail in 1843. They were threatened by lightning, wind, and river crossings. They were overjoyed upon reaching Oregon and building their new home. They are waiting to be found.
Meet your ancestors. Learn their stories. Search millions of records and family trees at Ancestry.com and start your journey of discovery today.
New advice from the experts. Heart patients can scale back on taking antibiotics as a precaution. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
For nearly 50 years, people with even slight congenital heart problems have been taking antibiotics before going to the dentist to guard against a rare but dangerous infection. Problem is,
there's never been a study to demonstrate that it works.
Now, in a dramatic change, the American Heart Association is releasing new guidelines telling most of these people don't do it anymore. Only the highest risk patients need to pre-medicate, for instance,
people who've ever had heart infection of this type before, people who have artificial valves.
Co-author Dr. Michael Gewitt says with so much concern about overuse of antibiotics, the benefits here no longer outweigh the risks. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Researchers in this country and in Thailand say fruity cocktails can be good for your health. They say adding ethanol, such as rum and vodka, boosts the antioxidant powers of strawberries and other fruit. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
I need directions. I'm going to Scotch Lane in New Jersey.
Introducing OnStar turn-by-turn navigation. Just press the OnStar button and tell the advisor your destination. The route will be sent to your vehicle, and an automated voice will guide you through every turn.
I'm very excited by this new turn-by-turn feature. It's like having somebody who knows exactly where they live sitting next to me.
Is it not the coolest thing ever?
Absolutely.
No need to print out driving directions or hassle with a portable GPS device.
Your turn-by-turn navigation will begin.
Can I tell you something? I know how to get there. I just want to use the service.
I don't blame you. Thank you for using OnStar.
Turn-by-turn navigation is the simplest and smartest navigation system, and it's available on many new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Start out going north on Route 10.
Requires ABS and directions and connections plan. Not available in certain areas.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
We got a
president so bad. Gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad. Now we're all in danger.
Hey, yikes, McGee, we need a Gonzalez version.
Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Yeah, we got a bad president and a pretty gnarly attorney general, too. He was up on Capitol Hill today trying to explain his issues, and there are numerous issues confronting Alberto Gonzalez. And first and foremost, I believe that he lied to the very same committee when he appeared before them in January and was questioned by Senator Feinstein and others about the firing of U.S. attorneys. Well, we turn to get some informed comment here from Margie Burns, a correspondent for Bradblog, bradblog.com, of course. And she had the exciting honor of sitting through the proceedings today before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Margie, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, tell me, first of all, what you felt was the tone and chemistry in the room today.
Well, as a matter of fact, I mean, this is a terrible thing to have to admit, but I ended up feeling rather sorry for Alberto Gonzalez. I honestly think that the most, you know, the Occam's razor rule of the guiding principle, the simplest explanation that fits the known facts is that Gonzalez didn't have all that much choice about the firings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what pulls it together. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I mean, you know, I think that in itself is obviously, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Now, I got to watch part of it on TV, and then I heard snatches on Pacifica Radio, and I'm grateful to them for their gavel-to-gavel coverage, anchored by my friend Larry Bensky. And what I found interesting was in the last round of questionings, Senator Feinstein was trying to get Gonzalez to explain how this list materialized. The list of U.S. attorneys slated to be asked to resign.
Right.
And he couldn't answer that, and she went through various iterations saying that, you know, Kyle Sampson said that he just kept a list and other people gave him the names, that he was an aggregator. And at the end of the day, was there any meaningful explanation from Gonzalez about how these people qualified to be sacked?
I don't think there was, and I'm not sure that there could have been. Well, to answer the question a little bit differently, I mean, when you go into, you know, a reason to fire each of the 7 or 8 U.S. attorneys, you know, depending on how you look at it, if there were 8, you know, counting DiBiagio of Maryland and, you know, Kevin Ryan of California,
mm-hmm.
now those are justifiable firings. I don't want to kick somebody who's already down, but they are.
It seems like it.
By all accounts. Okay.
I know more about Kevin Ryan, but I would agree that he has not managed the office well.
Right. And which I guess leads to the question, how did they get on the list of people to be fired? Is it because, you know, genuinely, I mean, it's like they would have been fired anyway, or were they included to make the rest of the list more colorable, or, you know, exactly what was going on there? The others do seem to, you know, there's got to be a mix of reasons about firing the others, but that's still separate, sort of a separate issue, oddly enough, from the way Gonzalez had to answer a bunch of different questions, and I honestly think that he just couldn't answer the questions. I don't think he had much control of the list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he had much control of the rationale for the firings. I mean, you know, what the questions that come to my mind are exactly what kind of link was there between Mr. Sampson's office and the White House? Exactly who was the link?
Well, we know that
because
they had...
I'm not so sure that Gonzalez was the link.
Uh-huh. We know that there was a regularly scheduled Wednesday meeting at the White House. It didn't happen every week, but it was on the schedule,
right,
where Karl Rove, Harriet Myers, Kyle Sampson, and sometimes Paul McNulty,
right, the Deputy Attorney General,
met to discuss judicial appointments and other issues, you know, related to these political appointees that the White House and any White House has control over.
Right.
And what we don't know is exactly what went on in those meetings, and the missing Karl Rove emails might have some light to shed on those questions.
The topic of the missing, possibly thousands of missing emails did come up today, not very much at length because they just couldn't get into it in this hearing, I think. But if that one doesn't come up again, then there's really got to be a lack of investigative capability somewhere. Before we get to the end of this program, I'd like to come back to those missing emails.
Well,
but anyway,
let's go ahead and talk about them now, because I think it is a very interesting issue.
Okay.
And I'm puzzled as to why more wasn't made of it in these hearings.
Well, I think because it's probably potentially just too huge. I mean, my guess, nobody said this, but I think it's potentially just too huge a subject area to get into, except very superficially today. And, you know, not enough of that material. In fact, I guess none of it has been turned over yet, and they'd be proceeding on hypotheses. Well, what I've got, I mean, if we're talking about emails missing that pertain to the Department of Justice and possibly thousands of emails, including, I guess, a whole mass of that stuff, you know, through more than one email account from Bush's first term. I hope this doesn't sound too morbid, but I can think of three possible areas of inquiry, and they are all very, very serious.
Go ahead.
One, first, the case of that poor young woman, Chandra Levy. She was, actually, if you remember, she went missing and then, of course, turned out to have been probably abducted and was killed back in 2001. And
Congressman Gary Condit, who was having an affair with her, was focused on.
Right.
And, of course, denied it, left Congress, and ultimately there's no conclusive evidence that he had a role in her disappearance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I rather suspect that he did not, or at least that would be my, you know, guess by now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chandra Levy was actually among the 110,000 employees of the DOJ. You know, she worked for the Bureau of Prisons, which is in the DOJ, and she was seeing this congressman who was at the time on the Intelligence Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he was one of the very few Democrat members of the committee not already discredited or pretty much completely, you know. He was one of the few members of the committee with the potential to have a little bit of independence. Now, you see all these, you know, you look at the firings of these U.S. attorneys. I keep saying district attorneys,
yeah.
U.S. attorneys. And when we already know enough to know that there have been a lot of very unbecoming, there was a lot of unbecoming email correspondence about them. Imagine what the email correspondence in the DOJ and the White House must have been in regard to the Chandra Levy case. I mean, you know, there might actually be something illuminating there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, second one. This one is also very sad, but in a different way. On October 11th, 2001, speaking of U.S. attorneys, quite a well-regarded assistant U.S. attorney, I think, Thomas C. Wales in Washington State, was assassinated. He was, you know, at work in his home office, I think in the basement. Somebody shot him deliberately, targeted him, you know, according to law enforcement. That's a month after 9/11, or a year after another terrorist attack, depending on how you want to count it, or maybe it was not, attached to any such event at all. But in any case, I mean, he was just unquestionably assassinated. One of the suspicions was that, and he worked for the DOJ. He was in the DOJ. One of the suspicions was that perhaps he was targeted because he was a very active gun control activist. I mean, very strenuous gun control activist. And one of the things that strikes me about that investigation is just how little investigation there seems to have been, how little in the news reports there's been, how completely that seems to have been forgotten.
Margie, I'll be honest.
Interesting email correspondence about that too.
I follow the news very carefully, and I honestly don't recall the killing of the U.S. attorney in Washington State you described. So,
it's probably because of the timing. I think 9/11, which happened just exactly a month earlier than that, had sucked the oxygen out of every other kind of report, and then maybe after about another week or so, of course, the anthrax mailing started, which is another one.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I tried calling the FBI, an FBI office, I forget which one, about the anthrax investigation, you know, the guy I spoke to said it had been so long since he'd heard anything of it, he didn't even have anything to tell me.
Yeah.
And it's like nobody remembers those anthrax mailings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if we've got a mass of thousands of emails floating around from, 2002 through 2005, pertaining to, between the RNC and anybody else, pertaining to the DOJ, I just, you know, would think there'd be some interesting information in there.
Well, the other thing that surfaced that intrigued me, Margie Burns, was when Senator Leahy, the chair of the committee, was questioning Gonzalez and said, well, are you in possession of the emails that Patrick Fitzgerald secured from the White House? Because it's believed that at least some of those may be copies of the ones the White House now says is missing from the Republican National Committee servers, and that Senator Leahy has such great doubt about, and I share that doubt.
Yeah.
And Gonzalez had no answer. He just fumbled around and said, gosh, I don't know, maybe we can ask. But you would think in the laborious preparation for this very critical hearing for his future that somebody would have covered that with him.
Well, you might think so, yes. I couldn't tell whether Gonzalez would be, I mean, just trying to think about it, you know, somewhat from a distance, I can't tell whether Gonzalez would be likely to have that kind of thing in his possession. But I do agree with everybody, including Leahy, of course, who says, you know, firmly that the emails can be retrieved.
Right. We got to take a break, Margie. We'll continue in just a moment. Margie Burns is with us. She's the D.C. correspondent for Bradblog.com, and she attended the Judiciary Committee hearing that Attorney General Gonzalez appeared before today. We'll continue right after the break, and we'll go to your calls at the bottom of the hour in the Free Speech Zone right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Infiniti Q56, a luxury SUV that's at the top of its class. This is a four-wheel drive, seven-passenger vehicle that's perfect for adventures with a trailer on the back. The Q56 has a muscular and thirsty 5.6-liter fuel-injected V8 engine and a five-speed automatic. Performance is impressive with power, acceleration, traction, and handling. Inside, it's loaded with all the electronics and creature comforts you'd expect, plus power tailgate, intelligent cruise control, DVD with wireless headsets, nav system, and good cargo room with fold-flat rear seats. It's $13,000 less than the Escalade, and I like the Q56 better. By the numbers, the 2007 Infiniti Q56 gets about 13 miles in the city, 18 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $57,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
And good evening. Let's take a look at the very latest traffic information here on KXRA. And I got to tell you, we just have a problem in Interlaken, Mark Avenue at Mora. It is an accident reported there. Looks like it may be a hit-and-run crash because the driver may have fled the scene, CHP, en route to the area. We do have a lane being blocked in Santa Cruz, southbound 17 at Highway 1. What's going on? We have a disabled vehicle. It's a stall, again, in that left lane. As a result of this, traffic will likely be backed up, so be advised. Other than that, no other major stalls or crashes to tell you about. We're just going to give you an advisory. Santa Cruz, southbound 1 at Morrissey, the on-ramps and off-ramps closed 24 hours a day for road work through the 1st of May. And no problems being reported southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel. At this point, their support brought to you by Shell Fuels. Low quality gasoline can allow gunk to form inside your engine. Shell, made to move.
This one to Alberto Gonzalez. He wore his flame proof pants today. We continue with Margie Burns. She's a correspondent in Washington for BradBlog.com, and she attended and covered the Gonzalez hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. And did anybody accuse him point blank of committing perjury in his January appearance before the Judiciary Committee, Margie?
I don't remember hearing the word perjury,
yeah.
Although it's possible that it was used. But definitely several members of the committee, including Arlen Specter, said that, you know, they were troubled by the fact that what Gonzalez has said at different times seems to contradict what he has said at other times. And
but
then,
there
are differences between what he said and what Kyle Sampson said.
But they only use the euphemisms, right? Nobody actually said, did you lie?
I don't think I remember hearing the word lie except from protesters in pink in the audience.
Yeah.
And they did, you know, rise and shout, liar, liar, and so forth, and fire the liar, and all that kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. several times. They used the word contradict and the word inconsistent or the word inconsistencies.
It's right, and what was...
Somebody
what was,
may have said lie.
And what was and Kyle Sampson's, what was his term of art?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. What?
What was Kyle Sampson's term of art about the Attorney General's comments? He said he was mistaken, right?
I believe he did.
Or incorrect?
Or if he didn't say that, he said more than once, that statement is not quite accurate.
Yeah.
Or I don't think that statement is accurate, or mm-hmm. no, that, you know, the gist of it is, no, that's not the way I remember it, you know, that kind of thing.
Now, the senators were clearly frustrated by the way that Gonzalez was parrying their questions. And from what I heard, Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, early in the proceedings, said flat out that he's calling for Gonzalez's resignation. His rationale was interesting. He said, I don't think it's politics here. It's not the blood sport that we see in Washington. To me, it's a flat-out issue that he's incompetent and that his handling of this and other issues doesn't measure up, and therefore he ought to go.
Yeah.
And late in the last round of questioning, I heard Chuck Schumer of New York call for the resignation of the Attorney General. Did any other member join that chorus?
Not exactly, but I would say that, you know, at least a couple of the Republicans, well, definitely Arlen Specter is, you know, at best on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And, you know, I didn't think Grassley was too positive either. I thought that Coburn's comments actually came somewhat later in the day rather than earlier.
Okay.
Coburn has a knack for speaking clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, you know, whether what he's saying is something you agree with or not.
Right.
He said, you know, to Gonzalez accurately, you have said that, quote, management and leadership were the standards being applied to these U.S. attorneys who were fired. Why shouldn't we apply exactly those standards to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, management and leadership, why not apply the same standards to you? And Gonzalez says that's a fair question.
Yeah.
I made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Coburn, you know, got into it for a couple of minutes and a minute or so and said, you know, what you quoted, and said, I believe the best way to put this behind this is your resignation. And people in the room sort of gasped, you know, because he said it pretty, it was blunt, but he said it pretty matter-of-factly.
Yeah, I heard
Gonzalez's
it.
Answer, by the way, was rather interesting, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's right about it. He said, I don't believe that puts it behind us.
Interesting.
And now, he may have a point there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if Gonzalez is gone, I don't know whether he meant it this way, But the way I would apply that statement is that even if Gonzalez is gone as Attorney General, the relationship between the DOJ and this White House is essentially going to be the same, and that's where the problem lies.
Now,
Brad,
Margie,
talking about this early. Oh, go ahead.
I only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to jump to an issue that Brad Friedman raised in an alert that he dispatched earlier today, about the connection between the firing of Bud Cummins in Little Rock and GOP operative Thor Hearn. Hearn has been a major player in Missouri, and as Brad has pointed out, he was part of the GOP's systematic effort to identify these voter fraud issues that are the canard that have been raised about the need to fire these prosecutors. Did that issue come up at all about Thor Hearn?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Or at least not that I remember. I don't remember Hearn's name being mentioned at all. It may have been. I would have just, spaced on it if it was. But, of course, Cummins was mentioned several times.
Mm-hmm.
For a combination of reasons. I mean, the statement made about Cummins by Republican members of the panel was that it was clear there wasn't a real performance question or problem with Cummins. He was just replaced because they wanted to give somebody else a job. And I think it was Lindsey Graham saying it, who said, I don't have any qualms about that. I mean, I don't have any problem with that. If they want to give somebody else a job, they can do it.
Now,
they did not get into the whole Missouri, the quote, American Center for Voting Rights, so-called, nobody really, at least not that I recall, did any of the Democrats on the committee very firmly debunk, even in a sort of a summary way, this whole voter fraud argument.
Yeah, I heard it referenced by Senator Cardin of Maryland, but it was not terribly effective. Thank you very much, Margie. I appreciate your report.
My pleasure.
Great to talk with you. That's Margie Burns, correspondent for BradBlog.com, reporting in from Washington on the Gonzalez hearings. We're going to take a break and return to the Free Speech Zone. We're ready for your phone calls. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We can talk about Gonzalez. I also want to hear if you think NBC should have released the shooter's videotape from Virginia Tech. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, and let's play political idol. You be Simon the judge. What did you think of Alberto Gonzalez singing and dancing on Capitol Hill today? I don't know about you, but I thought it was unbelievable. And what was most unbelievable for me was under questioning from Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois. He was asked to defend the firing of David Iglesias in New Mexico. And he said, well, I can justify the firing with this rationale. Mr. Iglesias failed to notify the Justice Department in Washington when a senator and a congresswoman, both Republicans, made inappropriate contacts with him. Huh? Huh? I think that's just plain unbelievable.
You're unbelievable.
My lines are open for you. We're in the free speech zone for the rest of the program today. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free, 888-573-8372. Or email, if you prefer, Peter at peterbcollins.com. I want to throw out one other issue and then we'll get right to your calls. Yesterday, NBC News received a videotape that was sent from Virginia Tech by Cho Sung-hui in between his killing sprees. He killed two students in a dormitory, went to his room to reload, shot a video, pulled out a video that apparently was produced in advance, stuffed them in an envelope, and was there at the campus post office when it opened at 9 o'clock. The postmark, 9.01 a.m. Then he went on to Norris Hall, I think it's called, the tech building, where 30 other people were killed in short order. And I want to know your thoughts about whether you think it's appropriate for NBC to release that tape so soon. Now, I'm the kind of person who believes that if the videotape exists, whether it's a snuff film, a sex film, or the ravings of a murderer, that it will ultimately find its way public. And with YouTube and other websites, we can be certain that his ravings would intentionally, you know, eventually become public. But do you think NBC exercised appropriate restraint and discretion? And have they, in capitalizing on this and exploiting the videotape, after all, he only sent one, and he didn't send it to CBS or ABC or Fox. Do you believe that it's irresponsible, as I do, because we already have copycat situations developing just from the wall-to-wall tabloid coverage of the events on Monday? And to stoke those fires with a videotape, I think it's just, it's irresponsible. And I question the judgment of Steve Kappas and others at NBC News for their choice to release this so quickly. And I believe that we haven't seen all of it, that some of it was held back partly because he laced it with profanities and they didn't want to broadcast it or broadcast it full of bleeps. But bottom line for me, I think NBC went the tabloid route. I think they said, we can get some mileage out of this. Sweeps are coming up. And we will ruthlessly exploit this. Who cares about the feelings of the family members or other people who are already traumatized by the coverage to date? Let me know your thoughts about that. 888-5-PETER-B. Their line's available right now. 888-573-8372. On line one, we've got Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the program today.
In the same line of thought, you talk about the political type of frame-ups, like people like Alberto Gonzalez. I would like to talk about a crummy vote that took place back on December 6th of last year, House Resolution 1082. There was this suburb of Paris, France, Saint-Denis, France. They named a street in honor of Mumia Abu-Jamal, and the morons in Congress felt it necessary to put forward a bill to suspend the rules and to condemn these people in Paris, France, for naming this street after Mumia Abu-Jamal. There were only 31 congressmen that voted against it. 151 Democrats voted for it. Bernie Sanders voted for it.
Really?
Oh, yes. And I was just thinking, you know, what exactly is it the business of Congress to be telling somebody overseas who they can name a street after and who they can't name a street after? And I don't have to mention the fact that an authority no less than Frank Serpico thinks the most honest cop that ever lived thinks that Mumia Abu-Jamal is totally innocent. You got these totally idiotic people in Congress that don't know their you-know-what from a hole in the ground, and they go around voting on things like this. And I would like to give the raspberry to Congressman Mike Thompson, my own congressman Peter DeFazio, and all these other Democrats, you know, that are kissing up to the crooked police in Philadelphia over this. You got Bill O'Reilly on his show putting down Hollywood celebrities for supporting Mumia Abu-Jamal, and he just says on his show, "Oh, and they're supporting this convicted cop killer." Won't even mention his name. And that's the way these people are. And I've gotten in touch with DeFazio's office to let him know, you know, maybe he thinks it gets some political mileage kissing up, the crooked cops or something. But it doesn't get anywhere with me. And I just want people to know that an appeal is going to be coming up next month. And they can get in touch with the Partisan Defense Committee in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and San Francisco. And I think they should go ahead and send money to help the cause of an innocent man.
Well, Joe, this is the first I've heard of this, so thanks for bringing it on the show. I had not heard about this this resolution that was passed, and honestly, I didn't know about the French move to name a street after a mumia.
Oh. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, yes.
Actually,
and by the way,
you're still
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and they're now talking about the same thing happening in Harlem. They're talking about that they might have a street in Harlem named after Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie Rangel, he was one of the congressmen that voted against it. I don't even like Charlie Rangel, but good on him for doing that. And these 31 congressmen were very brave to vote against this, and for the rest of them that voted for it, well, you know, to them.
All right. Thank you, Joe. All right. Thanks for your call today. Now to John in Carmel Valley, a little further down the coast. Hello, John.
I want to commend Scott Dick for pointing out the creepiness of Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Oh, is he at the top of my words can't describe it contempt list.
Slimy, smarmy, opportunist.
Please, let's spare the listeners. It's just that to connect support for the troops with support for this unbelievably awful and protracted and more protracted war is one of the creepiest things anybody ever did. I challenge all the listeners out there, the next time you see some yellow support the troops, one of those things on the back, almost always on some big bloated SUV, ask the occupant if you can, does that mean that support for the troops means support for the war? Are they one and the same? And it's a challenge, and it's difficult to do just to find them sometimes, because you more often than not you see the vehicle outside in some parking lot with nobody around. But if you can, sound them out on that. And because I'm guessing more likely than not, that means support for the war.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that really means.
All right, John. Well, let's move on from Mitch McConnell, because we've established who he is and what he's like, and talk about the remark that he was responding to and trying to spin. And, of course, a year ago, all the spin was cut and run, cut and run, cut and run. Now it's, you want to set a date for our defeat. And I think that the language that the right is using is very, very risky, and they are apparently oblivious to it. I think it's also very risky because they continue to dare the Democrats to cut off funds for the war and to do it in a, you know, a very clean and final way. And, of course, the Democrats know they don't have enough votes to pull that off right now. But I think that as this mess continues to descend, that there will be some principled Republicans, Hagel and Smith and the two senators from Maine, I think, will get on the bus first. And I think that that will unravel very quickly, and that these words will come back to haunt people like Mitch McConnell. But I want to look at what Harry Reid said that prompted this, because this is a breakthrough. I regard him as a smart man, but who is often timid, and who recognizes that he's got a very narrow grip on his role as majority leader and the Democratic majority in the Senate that could be unraveled on a moment's notice by Joe Lieberman of Connecticut. He plays a weak hand, I think, rather strongly, and I've said the same about Nancy Pelosi. But for him, under the current circumstances, to flatly declare that we've lost this war is very encouraging. Because only a week or 10 days ago, I saw Senator Jack Reed, no relation, and he's from Rhode Island, also a Democrat, who is somehow the point man for the Senate Democrats on the war in Iraq. He had a really milquetoast approach to debate where he kept maintaining that the Democrats wanted to win this. They just have a different approach. And I think we have to give up on that gambit that Democrats can have it both ways, that we're going to get out of Iraq and somehow call it a victory. Because until the American people recognize that, yes, in fact, we have lost and there is no route with a surge or anything else to win this militarily, then we'll start to come to grips with the true reality. Your turn.
Well, what I really want to see, and I'm not seeing it, is real revulsion at war in general. The big thing that let this happen is the whole Congress and the whole country after 9/11 assumed that the way to respond to 9/11 was go get somebody. If it wasn't in Afghanistan, then let's go get them in Iraq somewhere. And
yeah, we got to kill somebody.
Yeah, we got that. The way you handle an affront, whether it's a violent one or anything, is equal or worse in turn. Israel's approach, eye for an eye, 20 eyes for an eye. We should have seen, instead of aping their response, which has been such a big failure for them, and predictably, it doesn't take the little boy in the Emperor's New Clothes parable. It could be something like an earwig or a mite could predict this. It doesn't even take a little child. The lessons, the terrible, awful lessons of war are all around for anybody to see. It doesn't take a lot of probing into history. We need to finally ante up to how horrible and ruinous, both financially and in terms of lives, both innocent and culpable, war is. That's the problem, among others. But if I had to list one in particular right now, that's it. Unfortunately, we're a long way from there, and I haven't got any neat answers as to how to get us there.
Gotcha, John. And let me tag your comments again by taking out of context the president's remarks at Virginia Tech the other day. Please think of Iraq when you hear the president's words. It's impossible to make sense of such violence and suffering. Those whose lives were taken did nothing to deserve their fate. They were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now they're gone, and they leave behind grieving families, grieving classmates, a grieving nation. We'll take more calls after the break. My number toll-free is 888-5-PETER-B. And you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
All right, everybody, let's take a look at our last traffic report of the evening. Wahoo! All right, we're going to tell you about, what are we going to tell you? Well, we are going to mention that southbound 17 at Highway 1, we had the left lane block there, and CHP was on scene. It was all because of a stalled vehicle. Other than that, we are going to tell you about Monterey, no problems report, and really at this point, no problems in Santa Cruz or Salinas, which is, pretty good news for folks. In fact, if we're looking at traffic southbound one between Monterey and Carmel, things looking good. No reports of any slow traffic at this point. Traffic at the speed limit. Highway 17, we're looking pretty good as well. This report brought to you by PG&E, the people of Pacific Gas and Electric, working hard to provide tools to help you manage your energy use and your bill. That's traffic on KRXA.
We're in the home stretch here in the free speed zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. And another ugly stat posted to the Jumbotron in the big screen in the green zone in Baghdad. Two more Americans have been reported killed in Iraq. Robert Basham of Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Richard Langenbrunner of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And the official toll now is 3,303. Billy and Capitola join us here on the PBC show.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
You said, I heard you say something about, so you want to set a date for our defeat?
Yep.
Can I try answering that?
Sure.
Well, you know, the date was set for our defeat the day that he stood in front of us. They stood in front of us at the State of the Union and lied to us. The date of our defeat was every time they lied to us. The date of our defeat was when our moral quality was destroyed by getting us into a war with a weaker nation that we've left in utter murderous chaos. The day of our defeat was set when Bush decided to win an election at all costs. Forget a war and stole an election. The day of our defeat has been in our own hands if we do nothing about this administration.
Very well put, Billy. I sure agree with you. And, you know, the denial that is evidenced by Mitch McConnell's remarks and many other of these Republicans who are essentially daring the Democrats to cut off the funds, it's going to bite them big time in the butt.
Well, and, what I was trying to indicate there was, you know, it's time for somebody to pull a McCarthy response.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, some good rhetoric that really tells the truth in a fashion that is powerful. I don't know who can do that for us, but we need to sort of, you know, answer each one of these things with just, you know, powerful rhetoric that tells the story here, because this is on our watch that America went wrong.
I can think of a fictional parallel. I don't know if you remember the Douglas, what's his name, Michael... oh, gosh, now that I'm trying to tell you. The
American president?
Yeah, the American president.
Yeah.
Michael, what is his name?
Douglas,
thanks. Yeah. I got it confused.
You had it, but you didn't know.
Yeah, I had it and didn't know it. Anyway, the monologue or soliloquy that he gives at the very end of that, where he basically says, yeah, I'm a liberal, what are you going to do about it? And he embraces the Constitution and faces down his maniacal and demagogic opponents.
And brings tears to our eyes, because we actually want a president who would be like that, and we know we're never going to get one.
Yep.
Exactly.
Hey, Billy, nobody's commented on the NBC thing, and I know you have an opinion. What is it?
You bet I do. The fact is that what you're doing is you're just setting up the I Get Famous. You're setting up a template for this. So now, as I said the day when it first happened, is so now we have a number to beat, 33, and now we have, we know how to do the video to guarantee that you get famous by killing people. That's a mistake, and we don't need to understand any more than we already do about this.
I agree. I think we're at the point of excessive exploitation. And I really think that NBC could have, you know, they even could have benefited in some ways by saying, we've got the tape, but we're not going to show it right now. And we're going to wait for the investigation to be completed. And then germane segments of it might be shown on Dateline during sweeps. You know, I understand the exigencies of the business. But to be so insensitive and to release it at this time, when I believe, as you just pointed out, that it will lead to copycats, it's just wrong. And somebody has to sit up and tell them.
Yeah. Another thing I'd like to comment on.
Yeah.
The suicide discussion you had earlier, the suicide bill.
Assisted or compassionate death, yeah.
So again, you know, who's going to be against that?
Right-wing Christians?
Yeah. You know, how often and how much are we going to, when are we going to have an honest conversation that's going to finally back these people back into their churches where they belong and out of the courthouse and the state house. This is really getting foul. It is going to be mean-spirited. My question to you is, how do I talk about this without, without getting scary and mean-spirited? I don't know how to talk about this.
Well, I think Assemblyman Levine set a very interesting tone. If you remember, I asked him to state what was in the bill, and he said, well, can I frame it first?
Yeah.
And then he talked about that people do end their lives when they're terminally ill in many different ways, and that this is simply acknowledgement of that, and it provides a reasonable process that is driven by the patient. And I think that those elements are very persuasive, Billy, and that's how I would present it to people. And certainly some will oppose it for moral and religious reasons, and, you know, that is their right. But I think that most people...
It's not their right to oppose it for me or you. You see, this is the crux of the problem.
Good point.
For these people to believe that their faith makes them crazy to the point that they think they get to tell me to live by their faith. And I find their faith as ridiculous as I do the witch doctor in Africa. Laughable.
Thanks, Billy. Now, Steve in Salinas. Hello, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. Yeah, the caller you had earlier about what a mess we made after 9/11. And I thought 9/11 should have been an incredible opportunity. I wouldn't wish it on anybody again. But after 9/11, the whole world wanted to help us, including Iran. And Bush goes into Iraq, and now the whole world hates us. And he says that that's making us safer. And I don't understand his rationale.
Well, it's not rational, that's why.
Maybe that happened.
You are guilty of rational thinking, Steve. Go to a corner, turn on Fox News, and...
I shouldn't apply rationale to the Bush administration, I guess.
Right. At some point, if you watch enough Fox News, it'll all make sense to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call. I want to thank Jack for a great email, too. He wrote, I want to call your attention to a book by Brian Urquhart, the renowned author, former Undersecretary General of the UN. In it, he describes how the British invaded Iraq in 1914 after declaring war on the Ottoman Empire, and which ensured its access to Iraq oil, but produced a state in which the Iraqi people were caught up in an increasingly violent, oppressive history. The key part, in combining three incompatible Mesopotamian provinces of the Ottoman Empire into a single sovereign state, the British created the basic problem that the United States is now desperately trying to solve. Thank you, Jack. I'm going to saddle up on Trigger here, ride off into the cloudy sunset. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, for the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The nation's chief prosecutor on the defensive.
Nothing improper occurred here.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez spent much of the day before the Senate Judiciary Committee answering sharp questions about the U.S. attorney firings. Some of the roughest exchanges were with fellow Republicans, as CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
Arlen Specter, the committee's top Republican and a former U.S. attorney, attacked the AG's shifting explanations for the firings of 8 U.S. attorneys.
Because I know you've been preparing for this hearing.
I prepare for every hearing, Senator.
You prepare for all your press conferences? Were you prepared for the conference where you said there weren't any discussions involving you?
This is the press conference Specter was referring to.
I never saw documents. We never had a discussion about
where things stood. Senator, I've already said that I misspoke. And the truth of the matter is, Senator,
Let's move on. I don't think you're going to win a debate about your preparation, frankly.
Oklahoma Republican Tom Coburn told Gonzalez he should resign. Gonzalez declined, saying he didn't think his departure would end the controversy. Some people at Virginia Tech and elsewhere are criticizing the news media for broadcasting Seung-Hee Cho's videotape rant. While it illustrated his state of mind, CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports it was of little value to police.
The graphic videotape and sadistic snapshots only reinforce what investigators already knew. Virginia Tech killer Seung-Hee Cho was a deranged loner, intent on exacting revenge for his own feelings of isolation. But sources say Cho's hate-filled manifesto has provided little useful evidence. In a rambling diatribe sent to NBC News, Cho sought to justify his plans for mass murder.
He forced me into a corner and gave me only one option.
Blaming everyone but himself for the killing spree.
With the Virginia Tech tragedy as background, Rachel Bell of station KIRO reports a high school student in Federal Way, Washington, was caught with guns and ammunition today.
Police were tipped off to the student by a text message sent from a student in class to a parent. The parent contacted Todd Beamer High School officials.
There was one student arrested with multiple weapons in our school.
That's Federal Way School District spokeswoman Diane Turner. Police say the student stole the guns from a home this morning, but he wasn't planning to fire them at school. Apparently, he planned to resell them. Rachel Bell for CBS News, Seattle.